You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm not Scott.
And I am Scott. That makes you John.
That's right. And this is episode 129.
129, John. 129.
And Scott doesn't sound gay.
I don't sound gay anymore. You know why, John?
Why is that, Scott?
Because I got my balls back. That's why.
That's nice.
And I also got the B2 Pro.
B2 Pro.
Shipped out, arrived in my doorstep on Friday.
Nicely priced.
Nicely priced, and I plugged it in tonight, and I love it. Love it. The B2 Pro Behringer. Nice.
Nice.
Nice mic, John. Nice mic.
No doubt, Scott.
Before we get into our weeks, I need to start out with a correction.
What's that?
I forgot to print out the emails before I came here, but I did get a lot of emails about going off on the Pope. A lot of people supported my Pope bashing, but they did point out that the Pope was never, Pope Benedict the 16th, was never kind of implicated in this pedophilia that's been rampant in the U.S. Catholic Church. The BBC did a documentary, and they said, well, he wrote a memo that said, let's keep secrets, let's cloud things in secrecy. But that memo was written in 1965, well before the pedophilia scandal.
All right, well, we can just surmise that
it was
the papacy is, this guy, if you look at history, the Pope is very powerful throughout the world in politics and leaders and of that nature. So it's possible, even though we don't have any textual evidence to prove that he was implicated in this, I'm sure.
Well,
it went on without him knowing. Come on, give me a break.
Right. He had to know at some point, but what part of authority did he have? But Christopher Hitchens wrote an article about Bernard Law. He was the guy in Boston who was the one who tried to cover everything up in Boston and move these guys around from church to church. When the authorities got involved and they were going after him to arrest him,
yeah,
he suddenly got invited back to the Vatican, got a promotion, and is living at the Vatican.
Ah, see?
And so nobody asked the Pope that when he was here, to ask him, well, what do you think about Bernard Law?
Nobody's going to press the Pope, man.
Yeah,
they're
nobody presses the Pope on that.
He's got his own fucking country.
The Pope's going to blame the U.S. and it's the U.S. morals on this scandal, but yet he'll shield a Bernard Law at the Vatican.
Yeah.
And nobody asks him about this. Yeah, right on. The BBC documentary, what they implied and what I inferred was that the he wrote this memo concerning pedophilia, but it was not concerning pedophilia. It was about some other secrets that they wanted to keep.
Right.
Probably their research on limbo, you know, that we talked about. Shit
yeah,
like that.
Right.
So my apologies go out to Pope Benedict for linking him to pedophilias. Pedophilias?
It should be going out to our listeners, not the Pope.
And our listeners for leading you astray. But I still want to know what the Pope has to say about Bernard Law being at the Vatican there.
I love cock.
That's what he had to say? Whoa.
Was that being a dick?
I love cock.
Somebody being a dick. Or sucking one. I don't know.
I'm all right, John.
I'm just kidding.
So what's going on with you?
Oh, man. Well, we weren't going to do the show, and then we were going to do it, and then we were going to do it. And
do it.
Do it.
And enjoy doing it.
Enjoy doing it.
I get a kick out of doing it.
Yeah. And
I want to do
it. We're supposed to practice, and we didn't practice, and Rick came over. We hung out.
On Thursday. Yeah, my wife's been going out of town on business. She was out of town last week, and she was supposed to be out of town today through Friday, but that trip got canceled. So if it hadn't gotten canceled, we'd be doing like a Skype show, John.
Oh, by the way, I'm going out of town the 9th through the 16th.
The 9th of May through the 16th.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I'm going out of town the 18th through the, 23rd.
Wow.
So where do the Sundays fall?
Wow. That's like 4 weeks without a podcast.
Really?
Yeah. We might have to do some makeups or something, or do some ahead of. See, the difference between, like, you know, Pauly B used to rail on us because they do one every week, regardless of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a music and comedy show, so they play songs. They could do 10 in a week. And then just spread them out. Ours are usually topical, and they're around current events.
That is correct, John.
And our take, our nonsensical take on those current events.
Well, we did talk about it one time, putting together our shows based on a specific topic. But we just don't have the goddamn time.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have time for that.
Or a best of.
Oh, that's so much work. We need an intern for that.
It could be fun.
First of all, to even identify something that could be included in the best of.
Well, I started, like, I was, Andrew was posting for a while, and he stopped. He was posting reviews on past shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started going back to listen to some of those that he posted about, things that he liked or ripped on me about, especially the free market,
which and guns.
Well, I'm fine with the whole owning a gun thing because I think we might need them. But the free market thing, yeah, I think you kind of set me straight on that. I'm more of a fair market guy. Free market. After reading some of Naomi Klein's book and doing a little research, I'm a little weirded out about the whole free market thing. But then again, when it comes to television and Janet Jackson's breast, I still think the market can decide there. There's no need for government intervention. Enough people upset with the broadcast could voice their opinion to the network, and it would be taken off the air, or somebody would be punished or breach a contract or whatever it is.
Well, I totally agree.
That was my point back then. I don't want to bring the whole thing up again.
Of course not. But the FCC, what do they do? Nothing. We need to...
Nothing. We don't need them.
Yeah. We need to find out who's going to be president and become friends with them so that they can appoint us to the head of the FCC so that we can do nothing.
Because otherwise, the FCC should really come down hard on Rush Limbaugh's, which we'll get into later on in the show.
Why not right now?
What he had to say.
Why not now? Oh. The limp balls.
Okay.
Now that we're talking about the FCC and limp balls.
Limp balls and the FCC?
Can you have limp balls?
And the FCC?
Well, you can be limp and you can have balls, but can you have limp balls?
Limp balls. I don't know.
So what did Rush have to say?
Anyway, this came out this week that he said that he was dreaming of riots at the Democratic National Convention.
He had a dream about riots.
Well, he's dreaming. Well, we'll listen to what he has to say. We'll listen to a little sentence that happens before what he has to say by Keith Olbermann, and that he explains the dream part.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll listen to Rush, and then we'll hear what Keith has to say afterwards. But this is what a... the mayor, Denver mayor, John Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper. How do you get nominated with that name?
Following Rush Limbaugh's broadcast calling for violent riots in Denver, city officials issue a warrant for his arrest. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper called Limbaugh a dangerous domestic terrorist that should be locked up. no stranger to controversy, talk show ho. Oh, shit.
Ho. Talk show ho.
Ho. Rush Limbaugh.
He's
made
a comedian, John.
Yeah, comments
he's
calling.
A comedian.
I know. That's, you know. Yeah.
Who finds that funny?
I don't know.
Dopes.
Calling for riots in Denver during the Democratic National Convention this summer as part of his Operation Chaos. Chaos. Limbaugh is expecting Republican rioters to burn cars, burn houses, and kill children.
He's a comedian. That's funny, John.
Riots in Denver. The Democratic Convention would see to it that we don't elect Democrats, Limbaugh said during Wednesday's radio broadcast. He then went on to say that that's the best thing that could happen to this country. John Hickenlooper disagrees with Limbaugh. I don't see how a group of GOP thugs wrecking Denver and injuring our citizens aids the democratic processes of the nation. Hickenlooper went on to demand an apology from Limbaugh and stated that if Limbaugh and any of his brown-shirted thugs come to Denver, they will be arrested.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's the Keith Olbermann's quick little intro. He just basically defines what he meant by dreamed and then has a statement after what Limbaugh says.
His real remarks came Wednesday as he discussed his standing request that Republicans vote for Senator Clinton to prolong the Democratic race and deepen party divisions. As you will hear, he uses the word dream to mean ideal, not fantasy, and specifically calls riots the objective of his plan.
It's called Operation Chaos. The dream end. I mean, if people say, what's your exit strategy? The dream end of this is that this keeps up to the convention. And we have a replay of Chicago 1968 with burning cars, protests, fires, literal riots, and all of that. That's the objective here. And there has been nothing that's happened on the battlefield for my vision of this to change.
After that, even his own listeners turned on him. Republican Denver Councilman Charles Brown among them saying, quote, for any radio announcer to wish a riot on a city so his party could win, that's disgraceful and it's absurd. And when one of his own callers said riots would make America look bad, Limbaugh replied, quote, screw the world. Do you really think we ought to govern ourselves on the basis of what the world thinks of us? Well, you know, as it says in the very first sentence, they wrote the Declaration of Independence out of, quote, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind. Limbaugh's indecency and true intentions revealed on his own website, still reading today, Screw the World, Riot in Denver.
I just
How
don't
about
get
that,
it.
Huh?
I just don't get it. I understand wackles like Rush Limbaugh, and he's a political commentator, but he's getting in too much trouble because he's not smart, he's not bright, so he has to fall under this comedian umbrella.
Yeah.
But there's no comedy on that show.
No.
There's nothing. But he has listeners. There's still ad revenue is generated. And when you talk about obscenity, and we just talked about the FCC, you can't say cunt or tit or boob, or you can't say bukkake, right?
But you say it's the dream
to
riot.
Have riots in
that's
Denver.
That's objective. Obscene. He says that's the objective.
I find that obscene. I find that despicable. And no advertisers back out from what he says, because who are his listeners? He's got a lot of listeners, apparently. Who are these dimwits is what I want to know.
That's it. That's exactly it right there. Dim is what they are. I talked to this one guy at work, and he happens to be from India, and he loves Rush Limbaugh. He thinks, hey, man.
Let's get him on the show.
I said, hey, are you going to vote for Barack? And I was just kidding. He says, no way. He's extreme. He's extremist. There's no way he's Muslim. I said, where did you hear that shit? You ever listen to Rush Limbaugh? He tells it like it is. He's extreme. No way I vote for him.
Can we get him on the show?
No.
Why not? Can't we have him Skype?
He's got a heart condition. I don't want him to have a grabber right here.
Oh, all right.
I'll tell you a story about him. I got some tickets to a Cubs game, and I said to two supervisors, I said, okay, do the hat game. You two guys are going to take two lucky employees to the Cubs game. All expenses paid. You just got to drive them down there with the company van. This is years ago. Take the guy down there. Two guys won. Supervisors take him down there. This guy starts violently vomiting all over the place.
On the way down?
No, right there in the seats at the game.
At the game?
Right next to like a 10-year-old girl.
Oh.
And he throws his false teeth up right in onto the ground. And then he picks them up, slaps them off, and then puts them back in his mouth. Right in front of this kid. So they call for help, and they take him to the infirmary or something, the nurse's office.
At the field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two supervisors couldn't find him. He wasn't there. They don't know where he went. They said they had to take him to the hospital. So they left. Well, he called his wife, and she didn't believe him. So he had to jump in a train by himself the next day when he got released from the hospital to go home.
His wife didn't believe him
that he was at a Cubs game and that he got sick from eating a hot dog or something. She said he was drunk and maybe he was out with a broad or something. I don't know. But she didn't believe that he was in the hospital, so she wouldn't pick him up.
Well, why would she believe that unless that happened allegedly prior to this incident?
I don't know. I've heard a story where they were at there was a big company Christmas party, and he was there, and some employees got him, you know, started giving him shots. Dude, come on, drink. No, I've had enough, man. I've had enough.
Mang?
No, no more.
Was he Tony Montana?
Yeah, he's Tony Montana.
You get that shit out of my face, man.
So he's doing tequila and the Jack Daniels. Next thing you know, in the lobby of this really fancy restaurant, he's sitting on a bench and he's hurling into like one of those sand ashtrays. And as people are walking in, they see honest to God, man. Honest to the Lord Jesus.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
I've had my share of throw-ups, but nothing in public.
Yeah, I love having conversations with the guy, but I'm not sure he should be here.
All right.
Because if he has a couple drinks or something, that could be projectile vomit.
Yeah, forget that. We don't need to see that. You don't need to clean that up.
No,
all right, John, well, getting back to Rush Limbaugh, you know, we've always said we're not either Republican or Democrat. If there's a good idea, we're going to talk about it and get behind it.
Right.
But with the W in charge, I mean, there hasn't been one fucking good idea that I've seen.
No.
Have you, John?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen a good Republican since, I don't think, in my history.
Is that because they all toe the party line?
I don't know. I'd say maybe Ron Paul, but other than that, you know, these guys, they have this—it's like this weird fascist agenda. It's like ever since they took Barry Goldwater's idea, Reagan did, and he turned it into this big fucked up. You know, they tried to do this whole shock doctrine thing where they advance capitalism by just basically ripping everything out, reducing taxes for the rich right away, and, you know, just shocking the country into economic freedom, which, you know, maybe in their minds is a great idea and it might help everybody out. But then it evolved into this weird neo-conservative idea, which Bush is part of. And
that's because of the religious impact, right?
I don't know, man. You know, from his standpoint, maybe that's the way he deals with this nonsense that's going on in his head. But for the rest of them, they seem like they're very clear thinking. Well, as far as not clear thinking, but they're very motivated in their thought process. And they're a group of guys, this Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, all these clowns, they're very well connected. I just read a story about how in the New York Times they talked about how every time there was something going south as far as news from the battlefield or ever since 9/11, they would bring on these analysts, these military analysts. And
that are bought and paid for.
Yeah, they're bought and paid for. They're hired strictly
to spin
the message. And they're connected through some of these companies that are actually getting paid big bucks to be part of this war.
It's called catapulting the propaganda, yeah. John.
And the whole thing was, it was designed just to snowball the American people and tell them, hey, this is the best course of action. Even though some of these guys knew that this stuff was complete shit. I mean, some of them even said, oh, man, I'm not having a good conscience about this. And they still went out there and they spread this bullshit word. And the bad part of it, and we could get into it later because I have more detail on it. The bad part of it is that, well, maybe I'll just read some of it now.
Well, we usually don't do this until the end of the show, John.
But there's been so much shit coming out lately. And today, even on like Tim Russert on Meet the Press, all he was concerned about is what's going on between Hillary and Barack. And he's got Howard Dean, and he wants Howard Dean to discuss, hey, isn't this going to hurt the party? Isn't this going to hurt the party? What are we going to do? What's going to happen? And he's like, wait a minute. We got more registered voters than ever in history. I mean, more people are registering to vote just to be part of this primary process than have voted in the past election.
Yeah, they can take this till the day before the elections, and the Democrats are going to landslide,
but
whoever
it
is.
But what about the unity? What about this? What about
fuck that.
Who gives a fuck? We want it. You know,
listen
the thing
to John
is about
McCain
to win.
Talk yeah. for 10 seconds, and you can make your mind up.
To me, whatever they're talking about in the news is not news. It's got to be the worst shit I've ever heard in my life.
If John McCain wins, something is going on that we don't know about.
No
because
doubt.
It's impossible to me for that fucker to win. But I said the same thing about the goddamn W, and look what happened. I don't know, John.
Yeah.
We might have to move.
Anyways, it says here that... internal Pentagon documents repeatedly refer to the military analysts as message force multipliers or surrogates who could be counted on to deliver administration themes and messages to millions of Americans in the form of their own opinion.
Well, so, I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but it's not. Here's the rub is that None of these Chris Matthews, Wolf Blitzer, Britt Hume, any of these fucking so-called journalists never challenged where they got their information from. They never said, hey, okay, so where did you hear this? You know, where did you get this from? They never checked backgrounds on any of these analysts. Oh, they're military analysts. They've been in the military for 75 years, therefore... what they're saying has to be true. They wouldn't lie. They wouldn't just take a piece of paper that was handed to them by, Donald Dumsfeld and repeat it.
I just don't get the thought process, though. I mean, you can tell these lies and spin it your way, but time is going to provide the real truth at some point. And how do you spin that? How do you spin the real truth? How do you spin that I've been lying for... however many years, 5 years, 10 years, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Unless you take over the government, strip the Constitution, and put us under martial law. That's how. Is that the ultimate plan?
That
I don't know.
That could be.
All right, we got to lighten it up, John. We usually get into this heavy stuff later in the podcast.
You started it, man.
I did start it. I just wanted to... cut it off at limb balls. Limp balls.
What's your fucking point?
All right, let's lighten it up. I went out and I searched other podcasts for mentions of our great show, John. And I came across a couple of mentions. Punky. We were on the Punky show not too long ago.
Really?
They talked about us. What had happened is Punky wasn't sounding very good production-wise. So we made some comments about that. And I guess some other people had some conversations on threads on different websites about that. And they kind of agreed with us that, yeah, Punky's not sounding as good as they used to, production-wise. The content hasn't changed, but the production has changed. So I pulled these clips from Punky. There's two clips. Now, the first clip, they're going to talk a little bit about that. And then they're going to talk about time travel. And then I'm going to have a quiz, John, after the first clip, and I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
So listen carefully to the first clip.
All right.
Check it out. Not good as this, though, of course.
No, nothing is. Although some apparently have superior production values.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, well, you know, that was always at the top of my fucking list when we started doing this. Tony, I don't mind about the music and the content, but please, just make the production values 100%, will you?
Okay, I'll give it a go. Punk is great, no joke.
Yeah,
Punk
true.
Is crap. April Fool. Of course it isn't. Punk
very,
is great.
This is very confusing.
It's the only show I listen to that can time travel and still play great music.
Yeah, that's true.
And some Graham Holland. It's a life.
With the exception, of...
Okay, so they read a comment.
Yeah.
Who do you think Pauly B is going to say? Punky's great. They're the only ones that can time travel. And then Pauly B says, well, no, with the exception of... Who do you think he's going to say?
Well, it ain't going to be us.
Well, why not? We time travel. We really time travel.
Well, let's hear. Let's see what he says.
All right.
I haven't heard this, so... Should I play it?
Go ahead.
All right.
It's the only show I listen to that can time travel and still play great music.
Yeah, that's true.
That's some Graham Holland. It's a life.
With the exception, of Doctor Who's arch nemesis, Doctor Savile.
What is it? W at his show?
Doctor Who. All right, he must have stopped listening to our show.
Yeah,
because. We invented time travel, John.
That's right.
Fucking A. When he's talking about time travel, he's talking about recording shows, pre-recording shows, and then playing them when he's off in America or something.
Yeah.
And he mentions Doctor Who instead of us. You believe that shit?
I feel bad for Tony, man. What is he going to do when his usefulness runs out for Pauly B?
What are you saying?
Oh,
man?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
What do you mean? How is he useful?
I don't know. Maybe
right
he
now?
Gives him a ride to the studio or something.
The studio.
Yeah. When he gets a car.
Well, I think the studio is Tony Hearn. Tony Hearn is the studio.
Oh.
Right.
Well, maybe if he gets another studio, you know.
Like Pauly B gets another studio?
Yeah.
And then what? What are you saying?
I don't know.
You don't know? What are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
All we're saying is if it's kind of opposite what Pauly B is saying. Pauly B is saying it doesn't matter about the production. It's the content. And all we're saying.
Production doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. I think we just should talk like this.
All we're saying is that it's kind
of. Hello, this is Pauly B.
Production and.
Yeah. It comes across content. Great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Have some content, as long as you can't hear it.
Well, you can hear it, but you can't. You might not be able to understand.
Right,
it. Right.
Not so well.
Like the English accents aren't fucking hard enough to understand in the first place. And then if you can't get the production right.
All right, another podcasting news.
I don't know why Tony was laughing. I should find the clip where he says, they're like a hug for your ears. He's talking about ours on the Podcast Peer Awards, which Punky has won an award.
This year?
Yeah.
2008?
2007, I believe. Summer 2007. 2007.
What did they win?
For music.
Award-winning Punky. That must have been before they get kicked out of the studio then, the radio studio.
That's how good they were. They got kicked out of a radio station studio.
Oh, that's not fair, John.
I'm just saying. That's how good they were. They got kicked out of a shitty-ass radio station studio.
Oh, because they were afraid of the competition.
Of the great Pauly B. And
I
Tony
see what
Hearn.
You're saying. Right on. One of those pole smokers is going to come back to the States. Pauly B's out in California. You think with the value of the dollar, they'd be coming out every goddamn weekend.
I love cock.
I would if I were them.
Well, I think the only way Pauly B comes out is if somebody gives him a place to stay.
I see.
He makes fun of Tony Hearn, but here's the deal. When he was here the both times, he didn't fucking pay for one fucking thing. And he ripped on Tony for doing it. And Tony actually paid for a meal and drinks. And he sat there and said, yeah, oh, this you never, oh my God, he's opening. Pauly B never bought a beer or anything.
Nothing.
I can't remember him buying anything.
I don't remember anything about that, so I don't know. I can't comment one way or the other.
I don't remember.
Both visits, I have a hard time remembering.
You have hard recollection?
Yes. Short-term memory, long-term, you know, the whole deal.
And then he broke my sink.
The faucet, not the sink.
No, he broke the sink.
He broke the sink?
Yeah.
The plumbing.
He busted the pop-up, you know, the part that pops up.
So you can plug the water.
Right. It wasn't so bad that it was broken. It was all the beard hair that he left in my sink.
Beard hair? Is that what he told you? Because he talked to me about his pubic hairs in your sink.
His nuts?
Yeah, he was trimming his pubes in your sink. Well, that's what he told me.
Oh, that's nasty.
You motherfucker.
All right, then. In other podcasting news, we got to mention.
I'm just saying, man.
On Air Out My Shorts.
Really?
The word whore and the great Preston Buttons.
Yeah, what's going on with that, man? Is there something that we said? For a while, she was calling, talking to us.
I think she was upset.
And then when PB came to town, that was it.
I think she was upset when you traveled to Canada on business and didn't ring her up.
I didn't go to Canada on business.
I thought you did.
It got canceled.
Oh, it got canceled.
Yeah.
Right.
I never went.
That's right. Well, obviously, when you listen to this clip, you'll see that Preston is still a big listener, big fan, and he has something in common with you, which we'll find out.
Oh.
And when you listen to the word whore, she's either got something in common with me. Well, no, not at all. She either needs a 12-step program or she hasn't been listening, one or the other, or maybe a combination of both. I don't know. You tell me.
I just blew a snot right on my mic.
So you can go ahead and play. It's kind of a long clip, so if you want to stop it and make a comment, let me know.
Okay, you should have said that a long time ago.
Yeah, why?
Because I have to drag it into a different player.
Oh, I see.
All right?
I'm sorry.
Smart ass.
Sorry about that.
I went to the TTN website, as in Total Talk Nonsense.
Oh, okay.
You know those guys?
Yeah, I think I remember them.
They're on the Pod Riot Network.
Guys that used to have a three-part show every week?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now, thankfully, put it into one.
Hold on a second. What's with the echo?
That could have been...
It's really annoying.
It could have been my recording of their recording.
Right.
But I think it is...
Okay, we got to talk, man. I'm going to have to give you a tutorial.
No, it could be their show.
I don't know. Have good production values.
I understand. But, you know, the thing that, for me anyway, is you told me if we have a guest in, let's give him a shitty mic so we always sound better than the guest. For me, when we bring a clip in, we should always sound better than the clip, right?
Yeah, well, that's going to happen anyway.
Oh. Well, she remembers the show.
All right.
And I noticed that, what?
Can't think of them without coughing.
I noticed, of course, because John is a drummer.
He is?
Yes.
So you feel...
You would know this if you actually listened to their show.
I do listen to their show.
Okay. Well, if you...
You feel some sort of weird attachment to him?
It's, well, I mean, I'll The rhythm sections always speak the same language.
You,
but that's,
you think you have a rhythm?
Have a rhythm.
You have a rhythm with John? You share a rhythm?
What was that clicking?
Was that me?
What is with the clicking?
I'm sorry, I must have clicked while I was recording. I
breathe the same air?
I couldn't help but notice that, at least I believe, that he plays Premier drums.
What do you mean?
The brand.
Oh!
Premier. As do I. I have a set of Premier resonators.
I thought you were trying to coin a new hip phrase, and it wasn't working. Instead of... That's,
like, wow, man!
That's
that guy
Premier!
Really, that's a good, good term, though.
I don't like it. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, not really.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, he plays Premier drums, and so do I.
So
there you go.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
You don't think it's a love match? Could be.
Well, I think a certain kind of person perhaps selects Premier drums over other drums.
What kind of person would that be?
I don't know.
Keith Moon.
If you were a cartoon character, who would you be?
In my case, it was because I was a fan of Phil Collins, so I you know, he played Premier.
Oh, well, maybe John did it for the same reason, or maybe he found out Preston Buttons plays Premier drums.
That's more likely.
It's very much likely. So what does Scott do?
He plays bass.
Do you know this for a fact, or are you just yanking my chain?
No, I know it for a fact, because I listen to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
I listen, too, but sometimes my eyes glaze over and...
Blah, 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 bush, blah, blah, monkey, blah, blah.
I like all the blah, blah parts. It's the bush that I don't like, and the monkey. The bush monkey. Ooh, a monkey with a big bush.
A monkey's bush.
Funny.
That's hairier than a monkey's bush.
Wait a second. Do animals have pubic hair?
Let me ask you this, John. Yeah. A couple of questions.
Hit me, brother.
Do you have a premiere set?
Yes, I do.
And did you buy it because of Phil Collins?
No, I didn't.
Did you buy it because of Preston Buttons?
I did.
There you go.
No, I actually, it's the blue set that I play.
Okay.
At the studio. It's my backup set. It's my practice set. I actually have Tama Star Classic is what I play out at the shows. And I have a Slingerland, an old Marine Pearl Slingerland four-piece that I whip out. I whip this out on very rare occasions. I have a 14-inch piccolo brass Tama snare. I have a 14-inch by 5.5-inch Ludwig 1971 Marine Pearl snare. I play a Tama Star Classic green sparkle snare, 13-inch right now for shows. Practice, I have an Omar Hakim. I believe it's an Omar Hakim Ludwig 13-inch snare.
Wow, that is way too much information than I needed to know.
But the Premier drums, I believe they were a engagement present from my wife.
Nice.
Actually, I bought them and said, hey, you get a ring. What do I get? I'm buying a drum set. And I just happened to be in the Guitar Center, and they had this really kick-ass sapphire blue Premier kit, and I was wanking on it, and I loved the tone.
Nice.
Although I altered the tone. As soon as I get it home, I just get rid of all the heads and put some Emperor Clears on there, the really thick shit.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
And then a couple years ago, I bought the Tama Star Classic, which you can see, I think, in the video at the Beacon with Pauly B. The fantastic Pauly B singing Too Drunk to Sing.
Remember the words. Right on. Well, the other question I have for
I love Phil Collins, too. He was a big influence on me. Especially when he played with Robert Plant. It was the first concert I ever went to, and he was playing drums.
Really? I'm very surprised by that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. First concert I went to and got stoned.
Was what?
First time I ever smoked weed.
Was with Robert Plant?
Was at a Robert Plant concert. No, not with him. I was actually, we were like in the back row at the, not United, it was, what the hell was it called? The Horizon.
The Horizon.
Back row. And I get past the dude. And I had said to my mom before I went, I go, Mom, I've never been to a concert. What if somebody hands me pot? Well, don't smoke it. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
But you did anyway.
But I did.
Big wuss.
And I was coughing so hard, a chick to the left of me was holding like a big Coke, and I grabbed it out of her hand and just started chugging it. What the fuck are you doing? She
nice.
Starts hitting me. I'm sorry, man. I handed it back, and then I handed the doob to her, and she was like, oh, thanks.
Okay, the other question I have is,
dude, man. Yeah.
The word whore mentions that her eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this question, John. Is there a time when her eyes aren't glazed over? So how could she tell if her eyes are glazed over or not?
Well, she's pissed at us or something.
Why?
I don't know what
Why is
that's
she pissed
all
it
about.
Off?
I don't know. It sounds like she's mad.
It's not like we publish the photos of her that we have on our website. It's not like we did something like that. So
but hey,
she's all bent out of shape about.
I think that's why, though, we connect with Preston Buttons, because we are the rhythm section. He's the rhythm section of their show.
Right on.
The word whore is the, you know.
Oh, I know. All right, John. I know.
You know, she's cool.
That reminds me, I forgot to mention this. I went to the PBR yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. You know what the PBR is?
The Pabst Blue Ribbon?
It was at the Allstate Arena.
Oh.
Formerly the Rosemont Horizon.
For what?
The PBR, Professional Bull Riders. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not fun.
It's fucking hilarious.
Marcia got tickets. We took the kids, which was a mistake. We would have had it so much better time if we didn't take the kids. But we brought the kids. First hour's okay. And then the kids just started falling apart. Actually, my daughter was pretty good until the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. They had this MC guy, MC, like between the bull riding.
Hammer.
He would MC and do, he was like a comedian. And he really carried the show. I thought he did a great job. I have no idea what his name is. But they do all these cool things. Like they have a gun that shoots T-shirts into the crowd and this big Chevy
okay,
truck.
Apparently you haven't been out lately.
I haven't
like,
been
who,
out.
Who doesn't have one of those?
I don't know. I've never seen that before.
Jesus Christ.
But I got to tell you.
Oh, my God. There's television.
I bought a cowboy hat.
Oh, my God. You know what?
I want to buy a Chevy truck for some reason after seeing this.
You fucking redneck. Next you're going to be telling me, I love the W. What's wrong with him?
Well, what's wrong with the
what's
W?
What's wrong with the W? He has to have trouble with the English language.
He's a man of God.
Who doesn't?
Oh, that's the other thing. This is the only event I've ever been to where they had a prayer. They had a stadium-wide prayer before they got to the national anthem.
National?
National. So it's a sporting event.
Yeah, I know. I've been to them before.
You've been to a rodeo?
Dude, I go to Arizona like 2-3 times a year. There's nothing but hicks down there.
You like the bull riding?
I love it.
I love the bull riding.
You know why?
Man.
What I love about it is when those fucking dumbasses get trampled to death.
Yeah, some
anytime,
of the guys came pretty close.
Anytime a guy gets knocked off and was getting jumped on, I was standing up going, yeah!
Well, you know what they do now?
If you're that fucking stupid to tie a rope around a bull's nuts and pull it as hard as you can and then get on them and ride them, that's why they kick like that. It's because they tie a rope around their balls.
You're telling the audience, right? Because I already knew that.
I'm telling you and the audience.
All right. Yeah, I already knew that, all right?
So when they kick up like that, I'm like, damn, get them.
Yeah.
And that's like a sport. Yeah, man, that's a sport.
It is. These guys make
it's
the
not a sport. It's a
one guy was there has already made $500,000 this year riding a goddamn bull.
I know that tells you how fucking stupid people are.
It's not in the Olympics though.
It's not
so
yet.
It's not a real not sport.
Yet. Not yet. Although I still can't figure out why figure skating is a sport.
But the heavy hitters are all from Brazil. The bull riders.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Brazil.
Let's see you get on a bull, fat ass. See how long you last.
The other thing I notice is they're all under 5'8".
Yeah.
I think if you're the bigger you are, the harder it is. It must be to stay on a bull.
Hey.
Because they're all like 5'3".
Here's something for you
to,
there, hillbilly.
Yeah,
let's see
up?
You take a fucking math test.
No, that's not very
Let's
fair.
Let's see you get on a bull and ride a deer fatso. Let's see you do a math problem.
Well, we are so into it. We are looking into the championships.
Oh, Jesus.
In Las Vegas. And I said, well, we can't bring the kids. I can't handle the kids anymore. If we do go, we have to go by ourselves.
What is wrong with you people?
I don't know. I really don't know, John.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is a big pile of shit.
That's some backward ass shit to go see, man. What are you going to pull your trailer up right next to the place? Come on, kids, get out. Let's have something to drink. Ma, go get that special stuff you've been saving up. You know, with the bottle with the three X's on it, that stuff is great.
Hey, man.
Give me some of that moonshine.
I had a good time. I'd even had a better time if it weren't for the kids. I'd have had a better time.
Okay, Bo and Luke.
Got my cowboy hat.
Whatever, Luke. Bo and Luke.
I want to buy a Chevy truck.
Yeah.
I don't care that gas is going to be $6 a gallon.
I want to buy a Chevy truck that's made in Mexico.
Yeah.
It ain't even American. I don't even know if that's true. Sorry. I didn't mean to bring you down, man.
No, it's okay.
I know you're really
You're not
going to
ruin
this.
My time at the PBR. Yeah, but I had to drag the son out of there.
Yeah.
And then the wife and the daughter followed shortly thereafter. But the guy who won apparently is 5'3". He's from Texas. And my wife said I couldn't believe it. They interviewed him. And he sounded like a woman. I would think if you rode a bull for a while, you would squish your nuts, right? And you'd sound like a woman.
And you'd probably, well, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know about that there, dumb.
Maybe you should ride a bull. I heard it's really good for guys that are like over 6 feet. It's good on the spine.
Right. Forget that. The other thing I noticed is all the bull's horns.
Yeah.
They saw them off.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're a bunch of big pussies.
And half of these guys wear helmets now. There's still some real men that wear cowboy hats, but half of them wear helmets. And one guy who had a helmet on had a concussion.
Really?
Wonder what would happen if he didn't have a helmet on.
Probably knock some sense into him.
Possibly.
I'm going to get on this big bucking Bronco here. I just can't believe it's a sport.
It is crazy, man. It's crazy.
I know. We got to bring a guy on the show that's a big auto racing fan. Because I like to watch it for the crashes, you know. And that's about it. But he's a huge fan. And I always say, that ain't a fucking sport. How hard is it to just go in a circle for 2 hours?
Yeah, I don't understand the watching it on TV, but I think if you were like these people who go and watch the actual races, I think there's a whole connection you have with other people where they show up early. It's like a football game where they go early and they, what do they call that, John?
Tailgating.
Tailgating. So it's like tailgating at the car races. And the car race is not the real reason they're there. They're there to connect with other people and barbecue and drink beer.
Other rednecks.
Get laid, whatever they do. I think that's the big draw.
Terrible.
It's got to be, because when I watch it on TV, it's the goddamn boringest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know, this is boring too, but the real Formula One racing where the road's all windy and stuff. You remember the game Pole Position?
No.
The video game?
No.
You never played that?
Is it like an arcade game?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It's a sit-down game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pole Position. That was a cool game. That'd be like, that to me is like, at least take some sort of skill, you know?
Right.
Or maybe the ones where the car goes sideways through the entire, what do they call that?
What kind of race? Sandlot?
No.
Where they race on the sand?
No, they race in a dirt track, and the car is almost sideways the whole time.
The whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it.
Me neither.
It's a bunch of shit.
It is a bunch
that
of shit.
One big pile of shit.
Yeah. Let's talk about real sports, like basketball, John. That's a real sport.
Yeah, that's a real sport.
Right on.
It's like a carnival sport.
What do you mean, carnival yeah. sport? You know, oh, because you can go to the carnival? Yeah, but all those rims, they tighten up the size of the rims.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever been to one of those and shot the hoops?
No.
Because you're a big b-ball player.
I am a big b-ball player.
Even,
I love the
even
b-ball.
Even taking your toenails off. You're so committed.
Well, that was because I forgot to trim them. Yeah. And I was cutting and weaving and, you know.
Is this the blah, blah, blah portion of our show?
No, that's when we talk about the W. That's the blah, blah, blah. That's when the word whore's eyes glaze over.
Oh, shit.
So are we going to...
Let's rattle your ice. You got to rattle your ice around it.
So... Actually, that's Preston's ice that's rattling.
Oh,
he's
it?
The one who drinks the ice drinks.
Oh,
the word
what is she drinking?
Bottled beer.
No, she doesn't.
You know that if you listen to the show, John. Are your eyes glazing over? You dope.
You stupid ass. Yeah.
All right, man.
That was the last message I got from the word whore on Skype.
Are you ready for a break?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with some miscellaneous, some celebrities, some science. We also have the top 100 women as voted by FHM fans.
Oh, yeah, and the 11 most gay rap lyrics.
And we have science news. And politics, John.
Politics.
That's where my eyes are going to start to glaze over.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine they would glaze over if you were a Canadian resident, right?
Right.
Because you'd be like, well, I don't care.
Ugh.
Yeah, but wait till it turns into like Nazi Germany. Then they'll start caring,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. When they're getting shot when they cross the border or tased. All right, well, this is some more lame practice
cuts. From last...
Yeah, from two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And this is there's a theme to this one.
It's the Beatle cuts.
The Beatle cuts, John.
The Beatle cuts.
You're not a big fan of the Beatles.
No, I'm not.
Your face. I try to phone. if I needed someone. Like angels.
Oh, yeah. Just like angels.
Just like them.
Did you get your rocks?
No, I didn't get my rocks, man.
Are you serious,
man? I'm not
going to
be afraid. I'm not afraid.
I would have got them, but I had to load up some stuff before.
So what we do on break is take a potty break if need be, and then we refill on beverages. And tonight we're drinking Knob Creek.
Right.
So I have very limited
ice left. And beer.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
Well, I have very limited ice left, and you poured like four shots.
I did not.
In here. Come on, look at it. Come in here and look at it.
It was two.
And I said, I need more rocks, man.
It was two. I'm looking exactly where the bottle was and where it is now. It's like two. Don't
My
drink
eyes
it
are
all.
Starting to glaze over.
Don't drink it all.
All right.
Relax, man. Kick back.
All right, let's get into miscellaneous news, John.
Miscellaneous.
Now, this happens every...
Is there
every...
such thing as miscellaneous?
Yes, miscellaneous. There's every generation, John. You have the older generation, the 30s and 40s, saying the youth of today is completely fucked up.
Yeah.
We're totally fucked.
Totally fucked.
But it's always been okay, right? It's always been all right. Things have worked out well, except for the W. I mean, we're goddamn in the toilet because of the W. But anyway, ignorance in the United States is not just bliss, it's widespread. A recent survey a recent survey of teenagers by the education advocate group Common Core found that a quarter could not identify Adolf Hitler.
What?
A quarter, that's one in four, right, John? A third.
Yeah, or 25 in 100.
A third did not know that the Bill of Rights guaranteed freedom of speech and religion.
Well, it's supposed to.
Well, right. So maybe the respondents are more intelligent than we give them credit for because, well, no, the W's really hasn't done anything with freedom of speech
and
religion.
Well, I got a story that relates to the First Amendment after your story.
And fewer than half knew that the Civil War took place between 1850 and 1900.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When did you think it happened?
1920.
1920?
And 1921.
Yeah, it was a two-year war.
2 years? No, one.
One.
I didn't know the dates exactly.
Yeah, but I'm assuming this is a multiple choice, right?
Yeah.
So they said, 1750 to 1800, 1800 to 1850, 1850 to 1900. What would you say? You'd say the right answer. Who wouldn't say the right answer?
Who wouldn't?
Well, more than half of the teenagers don't know the right answer. Now, we're blaming the teenagers, but it's the educational system. What the F is going on?
It's leave no job behind, Scott.
Yeah, like that, they left me behind.
That is the biggest fucking bunch of shit. I got a story after this about school.
Well, I'm
public
finished.
School.
You mean after what? Like after we're done?
After we're
you're
going
to talk to me?
Yeah.
Like when we hit the record stop button? Then you're going to tell me?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, court says a student can wear anti-gay t-shirt at school, Scott.
Okay.
Do you know that?
It's not anti-gay. It's based on interpretation.
Right.
Right.
A federal appeals court has ruled that a suburban Chicago student should be allowed to wear an anti-gay t-shirt at his high school, a decision the teen's attorneys describe as a victory for the First Amendment.
Woohoo!
In its ruling, the 7th U.S. Court, Circuit Court of Appeals instructed the district court to order the Nuqua Valley High School to suspend its ban on the Be Happy, Not Gay t-shirt while a civil rights lawsuit in the case proceeds. So, well, I'm sure the motivation behind this kid wearing it is exactly anti-gay. But so what? Do you find that offensive?
Well, I guess...
I mean, if it said, if you're gay, you should be shot in the fucking head. Now I would find that a little offensive, and maybe it wouldn't be appropriate for school.
It could have other meanings, because before gay was known as, you know, what you practice, it was known as happy.
What I practice.
So be happy, not gay.
You're the one who can't come out because you have no balls.
But I think it's I think it is discriminatory. I mean, if we could, I haven't thought of any. Maybe by next show we will
be happy, not black.
Right, something like that. Be white, not black.
Yeah.
I mean, would that be allowed in school?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Be white, not black. I never looked at it that way. As I was reading this, I was like, yeah, it's not so bad, I guess. I mean...
It's not like God hates fags.
I mean, if somebody wore a t-shirt that said, silly faggot, dicks are for chicks. I mean, I don't know. That would be kind of bad, maybe, wouldn't it?
Right.
Who would want their kid wearing that anyway?
I don't know. Where do you even buy something like that?
I don't know.
Online?
T-shirthell.com.
I'm assuming. Is that where they got it?
Yeah, probably. There's another one. An Indian Prairie Unit District 204 later said that students would be allowed to wear a t-shirt that read, "Be happy, be straight." But the students refused.
Well, I find that offensive.
Yeah.
Like, I got a rod.
Be happy. Have a hard on. I don't know.
Well, here's what we need to
do. What if my dick is crooked?
I know somebody who's starting a t-shirt business, and we need to make t-shirts that say, "Be gay, not happy." How about that?
Be gay or happy.
Or happy.
It wouldn't be gay, not happy.
Well, they say, "Be happy, not gay," right?
Yeah.
So just flip them around.
Right.
Be gay, not happy.
I see.
I guess it's the same message.
The Alliance Defense Fund, a Christian litigation group, represented the students. They hailed Wednesday's ruling.
As what?
The court's ruling is a victory for all students seeking to protect their First Amendment rights on a school campus, ADF attorney Nate Cullum said. On Thursday, public school officials cannot censor a message expressing one viewpoint on homosexual behavior and then at the same time allow messages that express another viewpoint. So,
what does that mean?
I guess they'd be happy if people walked around with t-shirts that said, "No God."
Okay. Or, "I'm happy and gay."
Be happy.
I'm gay and happy.
Be happy, not religious.
Well, they'd have to put that to the test.
Right.
All right, John, another miscellaneous news. I don't know if you've heard this, but a priest tied to balloons has disappeared. And I'm saying this guy needs to be...
Where'd he go, to heaven?
In the running for the Darwin Awards. Rescuers scoured the waters off Brazil's southern Atlantic coast yesterday looking for a Roman Catholic priest who disappeared after floating into the sky strapped to hundreds of helium-filled party balloons. Reverend Aldir Antonio Di Carli lifted off from the port city of Paranagua Sunday wearing a helmet, aluminum thermal flight suit, waterproof coveralls, and parachute in a bid to break a record for the longest time in flight
by a preacher
with party balloons.
And he's gone.
He's gone. And Brazil, this came out a couple days ago, Brazil has called off the search. So they stopped looking for him. They did find the balloons. They didn't find him.
Do you think that's how Jesus bodily ascended to heaven?
Possibly. Did they have helium balloons back then?
Party balloons? Those big silver ones?
That's how I'd be trying to spin it if I was involved with this church, that he ascended to heaven.
That would get parishioners. Holy shit.
He's got to be in the Darwin running this year. It's got to be.
Hey, this story somewhat ties to politics, sort of. But, you know, I'm all about, I'm not all about it, but one of my things is that they should legalize drugs.
That is one of your things, John.
I don't want my kids doing drugs or any of that stuff, but I just can't see all this money being spent on the so-called war on drugs and the fact that more people are being imprisoned and killed and turning out more fucking thugs. From something that if responsible adults want it, let them have it.
Let me ask you this, John. Your son is 25. He says, hey, Dad, let's go out to a movie. You can meet him at the theater. And he says, well, meet me in the parking lot. And he pulls out a big spliff. Is that what you call it?
How old is he?
He's 25.
Oh.
He says, dude, man, come on, Dad. Toke up with me before we go see this movie.
All right. Where'd you get it? Did you steal it out of my fucking drawer? You little bastard.
What age would be appropriate?
What's 21.
21. 18. Like when the draft is...
18, whatever.
When
whatever.
We're still in Iraq and your son is drafted.
Whatever we feel responsible adult is, we can decide as a collective society.
Or as a individual parent, is what you're saying.
Or, yeah. Hey, man, I don't want you doing it till you're 21. Is that cool? Yeah, Dad, totally.
Totally,
I need
man.
Some fries.
So I need to hide it from you till I'm 21? Dude, man.
Hey,
come on.
Look, my mom caught me with it, and she said, never in the house ever again or you're out. And I never did. In the garage, that technically that's not in the house.
Was it attached?
No.
Well, I think you're good.
I'm
I think
good.
You're good to
I was
go.
Good.
Yeah.
Anyways, H.R. 5843, Scott, is described as an act to remove federal penalties for personal use of marijuana by responsible adults.
See, the responsible adult definition. Is that part of the law, responsible adult?
Do you think you're a responsible adult to have alcohol? Can you consume alcohol as a responsible adult?
It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the feds think, if I'm a responsible adult or not.
Well, I think the contention is that a responsible adult is anyone over a certain age. You know, you can't drink and drive. You shouldn't. You shouldn't be smoking weed and driving. Anyway, the bill has been introduced by U.S. Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts, and co-sponsored by U.S. presidential candidate Ron Paul, Republican of Texas. If passed, this legislation would legalize the possession, use, and non-for-profit up to 100 grams, that's 3.5 ounces, of marijuana. Under this legislation, adults who consume marijuana would no longer face arrest, prison, or civil fines.
Really?
That's right.
When did you hear about this?
I just read it. It's
when
just,
are they going to be... I know you just read it. When did you just hear about it?
I heard about it earlier this week. I think it was about a week ago.
When could it possibly become law?
The latest major action was on 417, referred to House Committee... The status is referred to the House Committee on Judiciary... And in addition to the Committee on Energy and Commerce for a period of to be subsequently determined by the Speaker in each case for consideration of such provisions as fall within the jurisdiction of the committee concerned.
Hey man, I don't know what you just fucking
I don't
said.
Either.
What was that? Just don't read
well,
stuff.
Well, the points in favor are state rights. It's basically...
So from a federal perspective, it's no longer a big issue. It's up to the states to decide what to do with you
right.
if they find you.
This bill will not affect federal laws prohibiting the sale of marijuana for profit, nor the import, export, and cultivation of marijuana. It will also not alter the legal status of marijuana as a Schedule I drug, according to the Controlled Substance Act. So basically, the status is they're working on it. It's presented to the House on 417. State rights allow states to decide if and how they wish to prosecute possessors of small quantities of marijuana. Exactly. It's up to the states. Cost. Would reduce cost of federal law enforcement efforts that are disproportionate to the alleged cost of self-harm. Law enforcement resources should be used to prevent harm to others, not self-harm.
So is this a bill that would eventually make its way to the W?
Yeah, all bills get to the
W. And what do you think that fucker will do?
He'll veto it if it passes. But I don't think it'll... You know, they've tried to pass...
Hypothetically, let's say it passes, and we got this cocksucker.
He'll veto it.
For 20 years, did as much... More coke than... all the people in, what was that movie?
But, Scott, you got to realize the war on drugs is big fucking business, man. It makes lots of money.
For who?
The taxpayers lose out. They pay and pay and pay. Law enforcement, instead of reducing the staff of the DEA, it increases the staff. And then you got more jobs in the jails because you need jailers for all these hardened criminals that are smoking pot.
Yeah, I read some statistic, John, that population or percentage of population, we have the most prisoners of any country in the world.
That's correct.
And most of them are for these bullshit pot crap.
That is correct, Scott.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was pouring a beer.
No problem.
Just spilled some on my arm. Hope I'm not driving. As far as law enforcement, allows law enforcement to more thoroughly address activities that cause harm to others by relieving officers, agents, prosecutors, and judges of legal duty to enforce a law which has been enacted to prevent harm to self. The personal liberty side of it is live and let live. The bill would allow states to determine whether people should be able to use marijuana in the privacy of their own home. So long as the users aren't harming anyone, it is extremely offensive to brand them as criminals and force them to live in fear.
Hear, hear.
The points against, Scott?
Yeah?
Just one.
What's that?
Action required at state level. The bill would divest the federal government of authority to prosecute low-level possession, but state laws would still need to be changed for responsible users to be protected, except potentially in potentially in Alaska.
What do we care about Alaska?
No, we don't give a.
I don't give a shit about Alaska.
Go there.
There you have it.
But I think that's kick-ass. Brave move by Barney Frank and Ron Paul.
You think those guys partake?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I would think so. Why else would you push this?
Dude, come on. I mean,
law.
The stupidity of this
you
law.
You do it on money and government waste alone? Or you do it because
Absolutely.
You had a personal investment?
I think there's people in this country that are somewhat reasonable and think that, okay, if a guy wants to sit there and smoke weed in his house and he's not doing anything to anybody else, and of all the people that have been drinking alcohol all these years, and when they look at both of them, it seems that alcohol is way more harmful. There's more people dying of liver cirrhosis and all that shit. And car accidents and irresponsible in relationships and all that. And usually with pot.
And violence.
Violence. Pot is like a dumbing down, man.
Yeah, it dumbs you down. You don't want to do
shit. That's
why
they call it dope.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm listening.
I think they think that reasonably people could do it recreationally. And because of it, I'll give you an example. I told you I was on the grand jury.
Yes.
Some years ago.
You were.
5 weeks. Looked over 1,000 cases. And one of the cases was a guy who drove from Texas to here with like $1.4 million worth of weed in his truck. And he was going away like for life.
For life?
Yeah, this guy took 20 grand. I think it was 12 grand the first time. No questions asked. Just bring an empty trailer. Don't get out of your truck. We're going to hand you a briefcase full of money and just take it to this place. Never get out of the truck. We'll take care of the rest, and we'll tell you when to leave. Pulls up there. Couple trucks, like pickups around him. Make some noise in the back, and they say, okay, head out. No questions asked. He's told he's carrying an empty trailer. He gets busted by some dog sniffers, and it turns out that it's a false wall in the trailer, the nose of the trailer. They pull it down. $1.4 million in weed.
Well, first of all, I'd have to disagree with the naivete.
Oh, no, he's not naive about it. I'm sure he's...
Well, that's his story. I don't know. On. I just backed my truck up, and they loaded it.
The story he's telling is that this is what I was told to do. We could question him. We questioned him. You didn't know? Come on. Didn't you think something was up? Well, yeah, I did, but the guys were giving me 12 grand. You know?
What did you think it was?
I don't know. Aliens?
I don't know.
X-Files shit? Did.
He did not know. He was not allowed to know. But it doesn't matter. The guy's going to jail for a long, long time.
Life is a long time.
It cost 12 grand to pay this guy off to move this shit up to somewhere here in Illinois. He gets busted. The cops want him to work for him, maybe lighten his sentence or something, which is, I believe, illegal. So he agrees to do it, does the next move for like 20 grand, goes to deliver, and they don't fucking catch anybody. Everybody that comes and picks up the shit, they pick up the stuff and they get away. The fucking cops blew it. So either the cops blew it, or somebody got tipped off, or somebody got paid off. Who knows what happened? Unknown. But they didn't catch the guy. They caught a couple of people, but not the main dude.
Well, if you watch...
But this other dude is going to jail for a long time, and all this time and resources and my fucking time on the grand jury to listen to this cockamamie story could have been averted...
That's a good word.
By legalizing it.
Cockamamie. Well, and you watch American Gangster, and I think it's Denzel, or maybe it's... Yeah, Denzel says... well, I don't know who the fuck says it. Somebody says, you can't stop this drug shit because there's too many people on the payroll on both sides.
Oh, yeah. And this is why I say I think there's some smart people that are reasonable that don't partake and go... There's no way of winning this battle. I forget the comedian. He made this joke about it like, yeah, when is the war on drugs over? Whenever there's a war, there's somebody who surrenders. This war on drugs, when is it over? When they go, hey, we got it. We found the last bag of pot. It's over. Hallelujah. Raise the flag. Johnny had the last bag of weed and we got it.
It's not going to happen.
Never. Supply and demand. It'll never happen.
Right on, John. Right
on.
So
it's a waste of fucking money.
I don't know why we didn't cover this on 420, man. On 420.
I didn't have it. It was like right after it, I turned on the radio and they were talking about it. I'm like, God damn it. And this is something that they have already were talking about before 420.
All right, moving on, John.
So that's why I said this, because in honor of 420.
Forget Scotch whiskey, John. For the alcohol beverage making it to the top, is Japanese whiskey.
What?
Did you hear this?
No.
Yochi, 20 years old, distilled on the shores of the Sea of Japan, has become the first variety produced outside of Scotland to win the coveted single malt award in international competition run by Whiskey Magazine.
Hayochi.
The whiskey distilled near the city of Sapporo of the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido.
Sapporo beer.
Beat dozens of other varieties, including last year's winner, Talisker 18.
Wow.
Years old. produced by the Isle of Skye.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I stepped on somebody.
I love cock.
It's just in.
So we're going to have to get a bottle of that for one of our shows.
Yeah.
If we ever have like a Japanese guest.
Rick's got something. I can't say it on the show.
He's got something what?
Yeah, I can't say it.
Why not?
He's got some stuff.
What do you mean, stuff?
Well, it's not weed or anything.
What is it?
I'm not sure I can say.
Is he going to bring it to practice?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll have to ask him.
All right, then.
It's made from the wormwood root.
Hey, when we're out of town, that's one of the options. We could just, because you record the practices, we could just post that when we're out of town.
A practice?
People want to hear that.
Oh, yeah, they sound great.
Shit. All right, John, get ready with the audio. According to new reports... Oh, this is an old... I have old text here. Monday's deal or no deal, President W. scored shitty in the ratings.
What?
Yeah. Should we play the clip first and then read the story? Do you have the story?
I thought you said you had... You didn't have it.
I didn't think I had it, but I guess I do have it. But you can read the story.
It's real. I just got a blurb.
Blurb and let's play the audio.
All right. The blurb is, on Monday, President Bush made a videotaped cameo to NBC's Deal or No Deal game show. Joking. I'm thrilled to be anywhere with high ratings these days. Ironically, the New York Post reports that Bush's appearance was a deal breaker. Trying the show's worst ever Monday night performance. Monday's show had approximately 10 million viewers, down 27% from its season average. Its season average, 27%. So that's taking the high and the low and making an average, and it's below that.
Wow.
By 27%. And this is what the W had to say.
You ready to get some acknowledgement for your work and hard work and bravery? You want to get some? Look at the screen.
Good evening, Captain Kobus. I'm thrilled to be on Deal or No Deal with you tonight. Come to think of it, I'm thrilled to be anywhere with high ratings these days. Howie, I don't know if you're free to come to Washington anytime soon, but I have to reach an agreement with Congress on the federal budget. How'd you like to host a $3 trillion deal or no deal?
No.
Captain Kobus, thank you for your courageous service in Iraq. You and your fellow men and women in uniform are heroes to all Americans whose freedoms you protect. Laura and I are rooting for you tonight, and good luck.
That is one big pile of shit.
Ah, what a dick, man. That
How
is a
would
big
you
pile
like a $3 trillion budget? Because you fucking put us in a goddamn hole that we'll never dig out. I read a statistic. It's not a statistic. It's actually the budget right now. $623 billion this year's budget for the military. $623 billion.
Oh, Jesus,
you know how
Christ.
Much is the second country? Number two. We're number one. $623 billion.
China
with $65
billion. Wow.
One tenth. The military side budget.
Well,
they have a way bigger military. I guarantee
that was a laugh track because that wasn't funny.
Woo-hoo!
It's not fun. It's not funny. Who the fuck is laughing at that? Howie Mandel had to struggle to laugh at that shit. Can you imagine? Let's say John or Scott host Deal or No Deal, right? And we come on our podcast
I watched that Deal or No Deal.
Deal
by
or
the way.
No Deal. And they got like how many women? 30 models that flip
26,
numbers.
Scott, 26. You 26. Ever watch that show?
I've never watched it.
Oh, you gotta watch it. Sorry.
So let's say we got a gig like this, and then they say, "Yeah, President W is coming on, and he's gonna make some jokes, and you have to laugh at them." I think I would quit. I would resign.
No, you wouldn't.
I would say, "Forget this cushy deal. I just can't do it. I can't do it. There's no way."
Okay, we're going to pay you $1 million a year.
You need to pay me $2 million a year to laugh like a goddamn monkey.
Like a
at this W. And you better put a laugh track in behind me. Because I guarantee I'm going to be the only one laughing at this chimp with his stupid ass. And you could, you can tell he had to practice like 100 times. Well, I'm happy to be here on Deal or no deal?
This guy, the guy who was that they were talking to, he went up to, he was going to like take home 150 grand, right? Or something like that. And then he was going to face the wheel. There's like this wheel, you spin it, you drop a big ball down, and it keeps, it's like a pachinko machine. Pachinko. And it'll, if you get the three times, you get three times as much. And he decided to go further, and he fucked up royally. He came up with like 25 grand or something. He went from 150 right down to like 25. And I couldn't watch it anymore. I was like, there, somebody was telling him, take the deal, take the deal. And I'm always like, no deal, go all the way. And you have people that are like, yeah, the Lord told me today that the number I pick, this will be the case.
Well,
I told
actually,
this story before.
Well, yeah, Howie Mandel was on Howard Stern, and
he
they talked about
this. Also on Penn Jillette about the same story.
Is that the one where the woman,
yeah.
He couldn't believe this woman's decisions, and she ended up winning as much money as you can win on the show.
Yeah.
And afterwards he said, I don't understand. Why did you make those what appeared to be stupid decisions? And she said that Jesus had come to her the night before and sat on her mattress in the hotel room and said, here's how you play the game. So Jesus came and told her how to play deal or no deal.
Yeah, there was a different story I heard. It was similar to that. And the woman went all the way down to almost the last case. And she said through the whole show that God told her, or Jesus, that this number case is the one with the million. And right at the last minute, she decided to make the deal. And she left like three cases out. And she had still the one that she picked, and then like two more that were out there. And she took the deal, like 300 grand. And she ended up, she did have the $1 million case.
But she took the 300 grand.
So her faith wasn't that, and they were
talking
about. It
wasn't
that
good.
Yeah. It wasn't that deep. Some other, this happened to a couple of people that they had the million. And they just went, I mean, the game is genius the way they do it. I don't know if you've watched it at all.
I haven't watched it at all.
It gets you like hooked. And I want them to just keep going. I'm like, you didn't have the fucking money in the first place. Just fucking do it. But they have some people that are like, they're all crying and they've been down on their luck and all this stuff. And I'm like, don't bring those people on there. Bring like somebody like Bill Gates. And see how he does, because he might go all the way, man. I want somebody to go all the way. I did see somebody go all the way.
The greater the risk, the greater the reward.
Yeah, and they were down to two cases. And at the end, you have the opportunity to switch. So right at the end here, you have this opportunity. If you want, you can switch cases. You got one case up there that the chick has, and you have this case that you chose. If you don't think this is the one, we're going to give you this opportunity to switch it. Because on the board, there's $100 and then there's $1 million. So you right now have a 50-50 chance of having the right case. So you can switch it. And I think this one, the dude didn't switch it. They open up the case. The one he had the 100, and the 100. One the chick had the million.
Had the 100.
100. Yeah, it's a cool show. I mean, you could easily win a couple $100,000 if you play your cards right. And because it's probabilities, it's pretty hilarious. People say, okay, 27 is not a good number because my father died on the 27th. So we're staying away from that number. 13 is actually a good number because my cousin Jed was born on the 13th. And he won like $1,000 in the lottery. So we know he's lucky. So I'm going to pick number 13 as my case. And I just say, pick a fucking number and just start going across the top. then the next row, then the next row, then the next row. Because the chances are exactly the same.
I see. Very good. Well, 27 happens to be one of my favorite numbers because...
Really?
There was a time in high school when I used to anticipate something happening.
Yeah.
And I would say, okay, this has got to happen in 27 seconds or I'm going to be pissed. I don't think I even said 27 seconds. I just started counting and it would... What I wanted to happen would always happen at 27 seconds. So 27 became one of my favorite numbers.
Yeah. So do you pick 27? Isn't that weird? I said 27.
Yeah, I would pick 27 if I was on Deal or No Deal.
Weird connection. I said 27 is not the number to pick.
Or it could just be coincidence, John. How about that?
No.
All right, quick movie news. There's
a connection.
Stein's Expelled, we talked about this. It was number 9 out of 10 last week at the box office. But that's not true. That was initial reports. It did end up number 10 out of 10.
Whoa.
Well, 10 out of how many? It just made the top 10 last week. It'll be interesting to see how it does this week because we talked about word of mouth and that kind of bullshit. And to see if these idiots are going to go see Ben Stein's Expelled, No Intelligence
Allowed.
Well, did
you read that letter that I sent you, the link to that letter?
I think I did. I can't remember it right now, though.
Richard Dawkins wrote back some guy that got sent a letter
to points. Yeah.
Yeah, he sent a letter to Michael Shermer. And this guy says, now I truly understand who you atheists and Darwinists really are. You people believe that it was okay for my great-grandparents to die in the Holocaust. How disgusting. Your past article about the Holocaust was just window dressing. We Jews will fight to keep people like you out of the United States.
Yeah, see, if I were Richard Dawkins, I wouldn't even respond to that. I would have just, wrote the guy off as a fucking idiot who was taken in by Ben Stein.
Yeah, I think sometimes you got to tell people how stupid they are.
Why do you have to tell them? Let them find it out for themselves.
They won't.
Why do I have to exchange an idea with a complete idiot who thinks that because
Scott,
of Darwin,
that is our mission.
Hitler caused the Holocaust. Give me a break. Dope.
He does address that, actually, in point number two. Dawkins says, Hitler's horrible opinions were not all that unusual for his time, not just in Germany, but throughout Europe, including my own country of Britain, by the way. What singled Hitler out was the fact that he somehow managed to come to power in one of Europe's leading nations, which was also one of the world's most technologically advanced nations. Hitler had a lot of support in Germany. His horrible bidding was done by millions of ordinary German foot soldiers, and the great majority of them were Christians.
Well, and Hitler himself, is quoted as saying he's doing the Lord's work.
That's right.
And who knows what the fuck this madman was doing it for. I've heard stories that some Jewish prostitute gave him herpes or some shit like that, and he got pissed off. and that was enough reason for him to do it. Who knows? There's 100 different theories before you could even consider Darwin right. was the reason.
And this is what we said in the last podcast. In chapter 2 of Mein Kampf, he said, hence today, I believe I am acting in accordance with the will of the Almighty Creator by defending myself against the Jew. I am fighting for the work of the Lord. He is talking about the Almighty Creator, which is part of this whole intelligent design shit. So he's acknowledging intelligent design within right. Mein Kampf.
And Ben Stein's one of the most repulsive, despicable people on the fucking planet right now.
He's a piece of fucking garbage.
Piece of shit.
He's
worm
shit.
Let me ask you this, John. How many times does Hitler mention Darwin in Mein Kampf?
Absolutely zero.
Oh, really?
Not
he doesn't even
once.
Mention him. Not once. Oh, you think Ben Stein brought that up in his movie?
No.
Pulse-smoking
cocksucker.
Because
he's a piece of garbage.
Piece of shit, Ben Stein. What a cock.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben Stein. You could eat the peanuts out of my shit.
Hitler.
Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Anyone? Anyone?
That's
dope.
That's a good Ben Stein imitation, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just dumbed it down. Anyone? That's what I did.
Anyone? Hitler? Hitler? Did anybody do that yet?
I'm like a mongoloid.
Do a YouTube.
I'm like a mongoloid.
Hitler.
It's my Ben Stein impression.
Hitler. We should do a YouTube with him instead Hitler. Of doing Bueller. You just say Hitler.
All right, let's take the video from Bueller, but we'll overdub it Hitler. With Hitler. 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 Adolf
Anyone?
Hitler.
Anyone?
Anyone?
What
That's
a funny.
Dick.
Deal or no deal?
All right, turning to celebrity news, John.
Celebrity.
I don't know if you've heard this, but Miley Cyrus has signed a 7-figure deal with Disney Book Group to write a book about her early life in Tennessee.
No fucking way.
Who is this woman? 15, not even a woman. She's a girl. She's 15 years old. She's going to write a book? Who's going to buy that book, John? You tell me.
I don't know, man.
People Magazine reports that Miley Cyrus franchise will be worth a projected $1 billion by the end of the year.
Dollars.
She tops the magazine's list of the richest teen celebrities. Now that Miley is seeing much of the money, she's not seeing much of the money, her mom says most is invested and Miley can't touch it until she's 18.
Wow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
The Jonas Brothers are also on the list, making $12 million a year. 14-year-old Dakota Fanning makes $4 million a movie. And if you wanted to know, 12-year-old Abigail Breslin makes $2 million a film, but has to live on an allowance of $11 a week. I don't know if you heard this either, John, but Miley Cyrus is all over the interwebs there with...
I really want to know what some little kids make 500 times more than I do.
She's on with photos where she's like pulling her t-shirt down and showing her bra. And she's got some really dweeby looking guy kissing her belly and shit.
What?
Well, a couple of podcasts ago, we played a clip of her on Barbara Walters talking about how not only do I have a family, but I have the faith in the Lord. He's there for me when my family's not. And that I am going to abstain from sex, and of course, until I get married. And she's all over the web showing her boob, her broad boob. And now she's, what do they call it? She's, what do they call that? What is the word? I can't have Knob Creek anymore. My vocabulary
what is the word?
Goes to the
for
shitter.
What?
Fuck my ass.
She's
what else?
Posing. There you go. Posing is the word I was looking for. Posing with no top on for some Vogue magazine.
What?
Well, she's got her arms, you know, over the bits, you know, the inappropriate parts.
How old is she?
I don't know. It's like 16.
Oh.
She's going on Barbara Walters dressed like a whore. She's making these claims of abstinence, yet she's posting photographs of her showing her brassiere with some dweeb kissing her belly.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on, John. I think Fred Phelps is right. This country's going to hell. In other celebrity news, John, James Caan quits movie. After fight with director Russell.
You cocksucker motherfucker!
He quit the new comedy Nailed after an on-set bust-up with director David O. Russell. The star was hired to join the movie South Carolina set for just 2 days to shoot his role as a U.S. politician who chokes to death on a cookie. But Caan walked off the set on day one after an argument with Russell. The director reportedly wanted Caan to cough and choke at the same time. But Caan refused, insisting he couldn't do both. According to Reuters, Russell offered to shoot the scene both ways.
Jesus.
But Caan refused and quit. The movie's producer, Douglas Wick, insists the role was part of an ongoing creative conversation between the actor and director.
You ever see Elf?
I did see Elf.
And he plays Sonny? Yeah. The whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
He's like playing Sonny from The Godfather.
As the dad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's great.
That's the only person he can portray.
That's it, man. That's all he's got.
Hey, what? You want me to cough and choke at the same time?
What do you want me? What's up with that?
I can't do that. Fuck that. It's not the first time Russell has clashed with cast members. George Clooney reportedly punched him
what?
In the 1990 set of Three Kings, and Russell was captured on film involved in a screaming role with Lily Tomlin while shooting 2004 I Heart Huckabees. And we have some of that audio. This is this director with Lily Tomlin on the set of I Heart Huckabees. Go ahead and play the audio.
It's harder actually to pick it up from the damn desk.
Okay.
You were looking, you were planning. All right, take a beat and preset it. You can put the fucking thing down. You can put the folder down for a second to use both hands. Yeah, and take your legs off the desk and a whole bunch of other stuff. Says you got to keep it. You can take your legs down. We can find some. Okay, for Christ's sake, let's just take it one fucking line at a time instead of changing everything. It's very difficult to even create what you're going to do when it's constant a barrage of change this, do this. No, wait, wait, do it a different way, do it a different way. Don't get me started. Okay, so I'm just saying, let's just, you know, it's impossible. One actor's doing one thing, another actor's doing another, and I'm not as brilliant as you. I can't keep up with you.
No, but we're being very efficient.
We're being very efficient?
Being patient with you.
Let's rehearse.
You're
please.
Being impatient.
No, I said
let's rehearse.
I couldn't understand you. And it's not the first time.
That's not even the one, man.
It's not the one.
Didn't I? I'm just trying to fucking help you. You understand me?
That's it.
I'm being a fucking collaborator. I was trying to help you figure out
your
fucking picture. Hey, bitch. I'm not here to be fucking yelled at. I worked on this fucking thing for 3 fucking years not to have some fucking cunt yell at me. What the fuck is true? I'm trying to fucking help you, bitch. Figure it out yourself.
Well, I have to.
Yeah, fuck yourself.
Why did you fuck your whole movie?
You fucker! You fucking bitch!
We better get some insurance against the director.
Fucking cock ass!
You're a fucking grown up! Act like a grown up! You're not a baby! You're a fucking grown up. I'm here to fucking help you. That's all I was doing, was trying to help you figure out everything. You don't have to yell. Talk to me. You don't have to yell. You want yelling? You want that fucking yelling? You swear right now? No.
You said
I never
you
fucking, fucking yelled at you. You fucking
said the yelling standard for the whole set.
Oh, my God.
I think we put a clip together, a promo for Spike and Rachel with that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know. How does a David O. Russell, who's apparently this total asshole, how does he have a job?
I don't know.
And I don't, John.
Did you ever see the, speaking of
in directing,
director and actor conflicts, do you ever see there's like a video on YouTube, and I don't know, I don't remember when I clicked on this, but God damn it, the movie's called Maidstone.
Never heard of it.
And Rip Torn, it's the director in the head with a fucking ball peen hammer like 3 times.
Really?
It's on there. You got to see it on YouTube. We'll have to link to it. It says, while filming Maidstone, Torn, apparently unhappy with the film, struck director and star of the film, Norman Mailer, 3 times in the head with a hammer. With the camera rolling, Mailer bit Torn's ear and they wrestled to the ground. The fight continued until it was broken up by cast and crew members as Mailer's children screamed in the background. The fight is featured in the film, although the scene may have been planned by Tom. The bloodshed by both actors is real. And, sorry, Torn, not Tom.
I've never heard
that. The bloodshed by both actors is real. And Torn was reportedly truly outraged by Mailer's direction. He even calls him by his real name. And, no, I'm here to exercise, like, he says something like exercise Norman Mailer out of your character. And then he jumps in the air and goes whack and hits him right in the head with a fucking hammer, man. You gotta see it. It's really disturbing.
You got to send me that link. Yeah, so I don't have to look for it, man.
And listeners got to check it out. It's truly disturbing.
We'll post it on the homepage here, John. All right, another celebrity news. Actress Megan Fox was named the world's sexiest woman on Wednesday by an annual online poll.
Who's that?
Megan Fox. While the world's most Googled woman, Britney Spears, barely scraped in at number 100.
Whoa.
Fox, 21, who starred in last year's hit movie Transformers, grabbed the title from actress Jessica Alba, 26. Topping online men's magazine FHM Online Reader Poll of the 100 Sexiest Women in the World for 2008. Alba dropped to number 3, coming behind American actress and former model. And former model
Monocle.
Jessica Biel, but ahead of Canadian actress Alicia Cuthbert,
nice.
Who was ranked 4th after appearing in horror movie Captivity last year. U.S. actress and singer, she's a singer? Scarlett Johansson? 23 rounded out the top 5.
Is it Johansson or Johansson?
I don't know. Number 6, Emanuela Krikul. Who is that? I've never heard of that. Who is that? Number 7.
Get a fucking microphone that worked, motherfucker.
Oh, my microphone works, MF-er. Number 7, Hillary Duff. I don't agree with that. Hillary Why? Duff. Who's voting for this?
Yeah, I don't know. She looks terrible. 13-year-olds?
Come on. Number 8, Trisha. I don't even know how to say
this. My daughter comes home today with all these new outfits.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. What's up with that? That stuff's too low in the front. And the wife rolls her eyes. She's, Dad, you wear like a tank top underneath.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And then she pulls out of the bag Britney Spears perfume.
Oh, nice. Oh,
I'm like, nice. And she hates Britney Spears.
So what's she doing with her perfume?
I don't know. It smells good. And I like it. And I almost said something like, but she smells like a whore. You don't want to. And I caught myself. I'm like, well, I shouldn't say that.
All right. So number 8, Trisha Helfer. Who is that?
That is one.
Do you know who that is?
No,
I've never heard that name. Number 9, Blake Lively.
What?
Blake Lively.
Blake Lively?
Number 10, Kate Beckinsale. Okay. So I only know like 6 of the top 10. I don't even know the other ones. Who are they?
Please sort out a photograph of me.
Number 11, Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, yeah. She should have been number 1.
Are you kidding me?
What's
no
wrong
way.
With her? She's a cutie, man.
Yeah, but like not for a top 10 woman's list.
Dude,
right?
She can regenerate.
Woman. All right, I guess
Lop
so.
A boob off.
Number 12,
comes
Angelina
right back.
Jolie. Other notables, John. Other notables. Let me ask you this. Victoria Beckham or Katie Holmes? Which one do you think is rated higher?
Katie.
That's right. Katie Holmes at 65. Victoria Beckham just making it at number 99. You think that causes some tension between Tom and... What's that cocksucker's name? Bend it like Beckham. What's Bend his first name?
I don't
I
know.
Have no idea. What
Let's
is his first
Pauly
name?
B.
Yeah. Beckham.
Tom Beckham.
So Katie comes in before Victoria Beckham. Paris
it's
Hilton.
Weird. Every time you see Tom Cruise, this song comes on.
That is weird. Paris Hilton shows up at 77. Pam Anderson. Where do you think she ends up?
200.
75. Ugh. She's still in the top 100.
Come
I don't
on,
think that's going to happen
ugly
next year.
Sin.
Yeah, she won't be on the list next year. I was really surprised that Tara Reid was even on this list.
Where's Courtney Love?
Courtney Love is not on the list. Tara Reid is on the list at
oh,
number 56.
No. With the weird nipple.
Jessica
Bad
Simpson.
Nipple.
Where do you think a Jessica Simpson checks in?
Oh, she's got to be at like 12.
No.
No.
Halle Berry, Where? Carmen Electra, Jessica Simpson in that order. 33, 34, and 35.
Wow.
Keira Knightley, number 28. What is that all about? Does anybody find Keira Knightley attractive? I don't. Obviously, somebody does. She's number 28. Hey, old school, John. Jenny McCarthy. Showing up at number 52. Old school. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
The oldest one on the list has to be number 87. Can you tell me who that is? Number 87? Oldest one on the list.
Oldest. Heather Locklear.
No. Not on the list. Number 87. She's been in the pop community for 30 years. Let's see. No. 25 years.
Tina Turner?
No. Not on the list. Madonna.
Madonna.
Checking in at number 87.
Wow.
And there you have it. FHMs. You know, the thing that pisses me off, though, about a 21-year-old Megan Fox, do you know who she's engaged to?
No.
She's engaged to a listener of The Mediocre Show.
Shut up.
Brian Austin Green.
How do you know he's a listener?
Oh, I listen to the show.
I do too, but I never heard
Brian
his name.
Brian Austin Green. You know who he is?
No.
He's the guy from 90210.
All right.
They're engaged. What is she thinking? Yeah.
So what? What's your deal? What you mean, so you jealous? What?
Yeah, I'm jealous of Brian Austin Green.
You're a fucking grandpa compared to that guy.
That's not true.
Yeah, old man.
I've only
Scott.
Got a couple years on him.
Yeah, right.
Brian Austin Green.
A couple 10 years.
That's not a couple decades, you mean?
Yeah.
No. A
couple decades.
A couple of years. That's all I got on Brian
wow.
Austin Green. All right, last celebrity story. So-called magician and endurance artist. David Blaine is up to his annex again, John.
Blaine.
You know what he's going to try to do
What's
now?
What's that?
He's going to try to break the world record for holding one's breath underwater. And he's going to do it live on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Oh, Jesus.
On April 30th. That's coming up, John. That's on Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
She's going to dedicate a whole show to him holding his breath. I mean, what are they going to do for the other hour?
I don't know.
Get this. The current world record is 16 minutes and 14 seconds.
Oh, that's a bunch of shit.
That's got to be shit. After 4 minutes, doesn't your brain pretty much shut down and you
pretty
have brain
much.
Damage? Pretty much.
Blaine damage.
Well, maybe that explains the W. Maybe he tried to break the record.
That's the truth.
And that's the truth, John.
Hey, man.
16 minutes. Come on.
Blaine. That's what he's going to have is Blaine damage.
Blaine damage.
Hey, crack.com has listed the 11 most unintentionally gay rap lyrics ever.
So these are rap lyrics by rap artists.
Yeah, like Eminem.
Are not gay.
For instance, Eminem. Don't push me from the song. The lyric is, man, I'm done saying that I'm done playing. I'm going to start laying any of these motherfucking cocksuckers.
All right.
Man,
that
I'm done.
Gay.
Yeah. What he's probably saying is, no joke, my patience is exhausted, and now I'm going to start shooting people. But
doesn't
what he could be
like
saying
that.
Is, seriously, I'm going to start having sex with dudes. 50 Cent from the song Gun Runners. He says, the man on the phone says, I got a beef. I want to see what you got. And if I like it, I'll cop. 50 Cent says, damn nigga, you hot. What
That's
he's probably
gay.
Saying, the man on the phone is, I have a conflict. I'd like to see your guns. If I like them, I'll buy. 50 Cent again in the song, damn. Man, you got problems. Oh, sorry. That's part of the same. Sorry, the next one.
Pull it together, man.
All right, Ice-T, I love ladies. The lyric, but don't get me wrong, most fellas do rock. So whatever. What he's probably saying is dudes are cool, but when it comes to sex, I love ladies.
That's giving him the benefit of the doubt.
But otherwise, it's saying, don't get me wrong, I will bang a guy too. Jay-Z from Memphis Bleak, Coming of Age. The lyric, Jay-Z says, hey, fella, I've been watching you clocking. MB, which is Memphis Bleak, says, who me holding down this block? It ain't nothing. You the man, nigga. Now stop fronting. Jay-Z says, ha ha, I like your style. MB says, nah, I like your style. Jay-Z says, let's drive around a while. MB says, cool, nigga. Jay-Z says, here's a thou. What's he probably saying? I like you. You should sell crack for me. Here's a sign on bonus. What we like to think he's saying is, hey, fella, I've had my eye on you for a while. I like how you look in those baggy jeans. Let's go park somewhere and have sex. I'll even pay you. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's a thou, not here's a thou. I read this like yesterday, man. I thought I had it down. Is this NAS or Nas? I don't know the rappers. This one's One Love. The lyric is, but I heard you blew a nigga with an ox for a phone piece. What? I gotta go past that one. I don't understand it. Black Moon. This is from Act Like You Want It. The lyric? No, it says ACK, A-C-K, act like you want it. The lyric, I get paid to rip. Step aside, I'ma blow you.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's pretty gay.
What he's probably saying, I get paid to be awesome. Now get out of my way before I shoot you. What he could be saying is, relax, I do this for a living. Move a little to the left so I can give you oral sex. DJ Quick, dollars plus cents. The lyric? Now, I never had my dick sucked by a man before, but you gonna be the first, you little trick-ass hoe.
That's gay. That's gay.
Well, what he's probably saying, Scott, is I'm so much of a badass, you're basically a woman in my presence, so I'm gonna make you blow me.
Even then, that's gay.
Yeah.
Even with that explanation.
Yeah, what we'd like to think he's saying, I've never done this before, you know. Let a guy put my junk in his mouth. This is my first time, you little trick-ass hoe. Yeah, whatever. Black Rob, whoa, is the name of the song. The lyric is, plus I'm getting brain from this chick like, whoa. Finger near a nigga asshole like, whoa.
That's not gay. It's a woman.
I guess you'd be playing some music behind this, right?
It's a woman.
Here,
where's the gay part?
This is rap music. I should be playing this.
Just because
right?
The woman's sticking her finger in the taint?
Here's number 50 Cent from Piggy Bank. Piggy Bank. Yeah, yo, bring the condoms. I'm in room 203.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yo, bring the condoms. I'm in 203.
Yeah. We're assuming the guy, Yayo, is going to drop him off and leave. Oh. That he's not going to stick around, right?
I guess, yeah.
Yayo.
Tupac.
Get the Yayo.
If my homie calls. The lyric, ever since you was a peewee, down by my knee with a wee-wee.
What?
That's what he says. Ever since you was a peewee, down by my knee with a wee-wee. What he's probably saying is, I've known you since you were knee-high to a cricket. What we'd like to think he's saying is, ever since you were young, we've engaged in fellatio. 50 Cent from Rider Music. The lyric, I read somewhere I'm homophobic. Shit. Go through the hood, there's mad-ass niggas on my dick.
That's gay.
Yeah.
50 Cent pops up most on this list.
Yeah, he's all over 50 Cent.
And when I say pops up,
he's about a buck 50 on here, the amount of times he shows up.
That's funny, Jeff.
We kid the rappers, don't we?
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it, brother.
All right. You know, we've neglected science news, and I think we're going to have to neglect it again because of the time constraints. I can give you a couple of quick science stories, John.
Some quickies? Quick.
Men could reduce their risk of developing prostate cancer through regular masturbation. Research
I've heard that before.
Suggests. Yeah, the research is in.
Yeah.
Start jerking off and try to avoid developing prostate cancer. Yeah, I want you, my little pineapple. Which has got to be a real fucking nightmare.
Well, how much you got to jerk off?
What I want to know is why masturbation? Why can't you have intercourse with your wife every day, for example? Why not use this as an
incentive?
An incentive, an excuse to have more sex.
I think pulling your pud is actually pulling the prostate forward.
All right, so then you tell your wife, we'll have intercourse on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, you'll pull my pud on Tuesday, Thursday that I don't develop prostate cancer.
And Saturday, Sunday, I'll mow the lawn. What about those days?
Well, I'll do it myself Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I see.
So actually, the actual act of pulling the
Mr. Happy.
Is what helps the prostate?
So pulling Mr. Gay helps the prostate.
It's interesting that we just talked about gay lyrics, but you and I are having a conversation about masturbation.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
All right. In other science news, John, good news for the rational, level-headed Vergoinians. Just as you might have predicted.
John, Americans were worried about the prospect of failure in Iraq.
Sorry.
What was that?
I don't know. You had something here, Scott Stupid Viola.
All right. We'll get to that after the science story.
All right.
Just as you might have thought, John, scientists have found that astrology is rubbish.
Really?
Again, you and I could have just said, yeah, it's rubbish, but no.
Why can't we get a grant?
They had to do a study. Its central claim that our human characteristics are molded by the influence of the sun, moon, and the planets at the time of our birth appears to have been debunked once and for all and beyond doubt by the most thorough scientific study ever made into it.
Wow.
For several decades, researchers tracked more than 2,000 people, most of them born within minutes of each other. According to astrology, the subjects should have had very similar traits, John. The babies were originally recruited as part of a medical study begun in London in 1958 into how the circumstances of birth can affect future health. More than 2,000 babies born in early March that year were registered and their development monitored at regular intervals. Researchers looked at more than 100 different characteristics, including occupation, anxiety levels,
anxiety
levels, marital status, aggressiveness, sociability, IQ levels, and ability in art, sport, and mathematics and reading, all of which astrologers claim can be gauged from birth charts.
Wow.
The scientists failed to find any evidence of similarities between the time twins, however, John. They reported in the current issue of the Journal of Consciousness Studies, the test conditions could hardly have been more conductive to success, but the results are uniformly negative.
They said conductive and not conducive?
They said conducive. I read conductive. They said conducive. Thank you for the correction, John. Speaking of corrections, here's another correction.
15 months ago, John...
Go ahead and play that clip. We're going to have to add this to the stupid library that we maintain.
All right.
Yes. 15 months ago, John, Americans were worried about the prospect of failure in Iraq. The decider told a small White House group Thursday attempting to bolster support for the war. Today, thanks to the surge, we've renewed and revived the prospect of success. Bush has a very strange definition of success. Failure. Accomplishing nothing that you set out to accomplish. And nothing. Viola. Viola. Viola?
Voila, you idiot.
And voila.
Voila.
You have success.
Viola. Violin.
Of course, it's voila.
Actually, it's supposed to be voila, but I've never heard a French person say voila.
Voila.
Yeah, every French guy that I've ever worked with, which is two, have always said voila.
Well, they don't say viola, right?
No, they don't.
All right, then.
And everybody, and it's not, and they don't say vodka either. They say vodka.
Vodka. We be.
We be.
We be 6.0.
Viola. I mean, viola. I mean, voila. This guy I worked with, his name was Jacques Boutte.
Yes, Jacques Boutte.
Boutte. Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
His name is Jackass.
Jackass. Jacques
Jack
Boutte.
Jacques, which is Jack. And Boutte being booty ass.
Jackass.
His name. And he would say it all the time. Voila. Voila. Voila.
Voila.
Okay, okay. You go over here. Voila. Voila.
He never said viola or
no.
Viola?
And he'd say bo, bo all the time. Like, bo. I don't know what he was saying. He'd say bo, bo, bo. And he had big, giant lips and huge earlobes. Voila, voila, bo, bo,
voila,
bo. I don't know what the fuck he was saying.
All right, John.
I don't know. I just, you know.
Turning to politics.
Whoa!
I'm not going to get the door yet. We got some politics. Let me ask you this, John. Has U.S. abstinence policy failed?
Yeah.
U.S. lawmakers are investigating whether to cut government funding for health education programs that promote sexual abstinence until marriage. And we talked about this, what was it, last week? We're in Florida, they're drinking bleach.
Yeah.
Because they don't get sex education, they get abstinence education. The move follows a report earlier this year from America's leading health agency, the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, which revealed, get this, John, one in four teenage girls has a sexually transmitted disease.
No way.
Right. So they teach, yeah, don't do it until you get married. Yeah, that's what we're going to teach. And then no education. These women go out, no condoms, nothing. And now one in four of teenagers have a STD, John.
No.
Thanks, W. Thanks again, W.
Again, it's always opposite what you think it's going to be or what they think it's going to be.
Right. It's good.
you try to go against human nature. And this is the thing I was reading into the free market thing. There's some great arguments by Milton Friedman. Everybody makes these great free trade arguments. But the problem is, in any sense, even Ayn Rand and her objectivism, objectionism. It's human nature and psychology always reigns supreme. Always.
Well, it's always about the belief system. You and I know that we are products of evolution.
Even regardless.
And if we stop fucking, we wouldn't be here to talk about
it. At that point, it has nothing to do with the belief system.
It has to do with human nature. Other people believe that they believe in a God and 6,000 years old and Adam and Eve.
But when it comes to the individual, they're going to seek what is natural to them.
From an evolutionary perspective.
Anything that has to do with desires.
Which is fucking.
Sex. Could be pot. Could be anything. If you want it, you're going to work very hard to get it.
I will argue that the only reason that somebody would be interested in pot is to try to get laid.
Shut up, you knucklehead.
Initially. So when they say pot is the gateway to other drugs, I say wanting to have sex is the gateway to other drugs.
No, it's cigarettes. Cigaretto?
No.
It's beer.
But it's you and I can see very clearly we're products of evolution. Therefore, we have urges. Therefore, we can see the differences in the genders between male and female.
Today, I was watching, do you ever see that show Monster Quest?
No.
Where they're looking for Sasquatch?
No.
In this Monster Quest, they were talking about looking for a hobbit. And then it went into, I don't know if it was the same show or if it was another show. I walked away, came back, and they were looking for a human Z. Yeah.
Like a human and a chimpanzee?
Yeah, there was a Russian scientist.
We already have one. He's leading this country.
I know. But there was a Russian scientist that was inseminating chimpanzees with human sperm to see if it would produce any.
Right.
And then it found a woman, and they were injecting chimpanzee sperm into her.
Right.
To see if they could come up with one. But then some shit went down, and he couldn't go through with it.
And they smuggled him out, and George Sr. adopted him. And he became the black sheep of the family. George W., and they sent him to Yale.
Anyways, there was a whole thing about evolution on there. And I can't remember the name of the guy, but he was really explaining how well they have evidence of evolution where they showed this guy with hair all over his face. And I forget the term they call it, but this guy, his complete face was hairy. And he works in a circus as like an acrobat. And they call it something, but it's like a step backwards in evolution. And they have a term for it. And they have pictures of like babies with tails and stuff like that, showing that there is proof of evolution just by these concepts and by this actual evidence that people have traits from previous humans.
That was the longest sentence in the history of the world.
Well, the previous humans, past humans that have evolved, but they still carry on this genetic trait. It's still within their gene structure. So they actually have
and it continues.
Yeah, the evolved gene. It continues right here on this show. Anyway, it was really interesting. I kept rewinding it because family was walking in and talking. Will you be quiet? I'm doing research for the show.
Right on. Right on, Sean.
Shit, I got to remember what the term is. There's a term, a scientific term for de-evolution. Somebody who has... like step backwards in evolution.
Could it be de-evolution?
No.
It's not that?
No.
All right, then.
Sorry.
We'll get back to you next show on that, what that term is. All right, John, moving on. Palestinian Authority President Mohammed Abbas said Friday he failed. The key word here being failed. He failed to achieve any progress in Middle East peace talks with the W, and he was returning home with little to show for his visit. What did he expect?
Yeah.
What did Abbas expect? You meet with the W, you're going to come out of there with what? Failure. Failure, John. Also, recent letters from the U.S. Justice Department to Congress state that intelligence agents working on counterterrorism can legally use interrogation techniques that might otherwise be banned by international law. The fact that an act is undertaken to prevent a threatened terrorist attack rather than the purpose of humiliation or abuse would be relevant to a responsible observer in measuring the outrageousness of the act. So that's what their definition is. I was always wondering, how can they say that torture's okay? And here's why torture's okay. Because they're not doing it to humiliate or abuse. They're doing it to get information.
That's fucked up.
Isn't that totally fucked up? And this is from a Deputy Assistant Attorney General, Brian Bezkowski. Brian Bezkowski, you are a fucking war criminal.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot. So he's saying we can torture. It's because of intent. Internationally, the intent is for torture for humiliation and abuse. And that's not. That's made up.
But what do you mean
people
intent?
Intent. If it's strictly torture, the intent must be to humiliate or abuse, not to gather information.
Oh, that's a bunch of shit. Because in the whole reason why they put in, so they must have, that's fucked up.
That is fucked
up. Because the whole reason the Geneva Convention for stopping torture was because all these other countries and enemies, all the way back to Vietnam, to World War II, was to extract information.
That is the
purpose.
That's
why they did waterboarding in Japan, in Vietnam.
Well, this is the problem. This is when you have the W in charge, and when he has all these religious connections, and he hires all of his lawyers from religious schools. This is the kind of shit that he gets in trouble for. But the thing is, he's not getting in trouble for it. So Deputy Assistant Attorney General comes out and says, we can torture because we're not humiliating or abusing people. We're gathering information, which is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard. Now, when you think about it, Bush signed off on this, Cheney, Ashcroft, Tenet, Rice.
Well, they have to spin it now.
They all have committed war crimes.
And this is the pussification of the Democrats. They should have been passing articles of impeachment since the minute they fucking walked in with the vote and took over the Senate and the House.
Pussies.
They're the biggest fucking pussies.
Or they're getting paid off. One or the other.
It's got to be.
Anyone who violates the Geneva Convention by engaging in murder, torture, or inhumane, I'm really having trouble with my H's, treatment is guilty of crime under U.S. law.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, the War Crimes Act of 1996 makes it a federal crime for any U.S. national, whether military or civilian, to violate the Geneva Convention. But not the W. He's the executive branch. He could do whatever the fuck he wants. And they ask Obama about his goddamn pin, why he doesn't wear a flag.
Oh, that
lapel.
That kills me, man.
But nobody is asking the questions, these types of questions in our media. What the fuck is going on, John? Pisses me off.
The media is garbage.
It is garbage. Garbage. In other political news, Joint Chief Chair says the U.S. is prepping military operations against Iran. Michael Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, said that the Pentagon is planning potential military actions against Iran. Mullen criticized Iran's increasingly lethal and malign influence in Iraq. Propaganda, John, propaganda. Addressing concerns about the U.S. military's capability of dealing with yet another conflict at a time when forces are purportedly stretched thin, Mullen said war with Iran would be extremely stressing but not impossible for U.S. forces. Isn't that great? So we've always said that the W is going to attack Iran, call off the presidential race, remain King George.
Or
put us under martial law. Strip the Constitution, forget habeas corpus, that's already gone, and you and I, John, will be sent off to Gitmo.
Yeah, we'll be rendered.
That's what we've been saying all along, but we have a listener who disagrees.
Oh, really?
I'm going to read an email from a listener. I do not think the W will try to stay in office any longer than his term allows. He can't wait to start clearing Bush. I'm sorry. He can't wait to start clearing brush, chopping wood on his ranch in Crawford. There is absolutely no way he is, unless they drug him and prop him up in front of the cameras. Well, I guess anything is possible with this administration. Tet from the great Pat McGroin.
Tet anus.
So he says there's no way that that'll happen. I'm saying there is a possibility. Because this guy thinks he is doing God's work.
I don't know how he could do it anymore. I mean, he's looking frazzled. He looks like shit.
Has anybody aged more in seven years than the W?
Except for Ronald Reagan.
Well, he's dead, young one. All right, let me get the door, man.
You gonna get it?
Yeah, I'm gonna get it. Come on, let me get it.
I
hey,
guess.
Man, what's happening? Come on back.
All right, I'm back. We talked about getting this MF-er a key, but you don't trust him when you're at work,
no,
right?
No, man. He'd be raiding my fridge.
Because I've about had
raping
it
my dog.
With opening the door.
Remember that time we did the show and Pauly B's wife actually went to get the door?
We've had other guests that...
I mean, we really go to get the door, but...
Looked inquisitive when we said, hey, go get the door. Really? Is there somebody here? Really?
Well, there is, but, you know, right. They're not sure. And it's no joke. The future is...
John. T-O-T-M.
T-O-T-M.
Theater of the Mind.
That's right.
T-O-T-M. How you doing, Phil? You looking good.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, John.
Oh,
it's good to be here.
Did you get a new mic, too?
I did, bro. God, I brought
nasty.
A new mic in, a B2. On Scott's recommendation, I got the B2 Pro.
From Behringer.
Unlike Scott, I've never had a problem sounding gay. I've always sounded very masculine.
Gay.
He's very masculine. Nobody can ever mistake me for a gay man.
Until they see that fur coat.
Oh, no. I am so secure in my masculinity, John, that I can wear pig shirts and fur coats. Oh. Thank you very much.
You sort out a photograph of me sucking a cock.
All right, whenever you're ready to turn it over to
I love cock.
Phil for the news.
I might be one of the biggest
I wonder
cocks
if
the,
the word whore's eyes have glazed over. By now.
I think probably.
I would think so.
Within the first 5 minutes.
Of her fourth drink? I think they would start glazing over. I don't think we'd have anything to do with it. Again, you know, the Pope blames us for the pedophiles.
Right.
And the word whore blames us for her glazed over eyes. We have nothing to do with it.
No.
Right on, John. All right, whenever you're ready.
Actually, hold on a second. I got a call. There was a message left during the show here.
All right.
I didn't answer it. Here it is from the word whore.
Come on, man. You can't use the same joke.
It sounds a lot like the last one.
All right, now let's turn it over
she's
to Phil.
She's really got to get that fixed.
We got to take a leak.
All right, yeah.
Well, maybe I can do that while Phil's reading the news.
Yeah.
Now,
thank you, John.
Award-winning TTN News.
Where's Scott going?
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight.
God damn.
Man caught with imaginary car will spend time in a very real prison. For possessing non-imaginary weed. A Frankfurt man was arrested on drug trafficking charges early Sunday morning after he was reportedly pumping gas into an imaginary vehicle. According to the arrest report, Metro Police arrived at the gas station at 1st and Jefferson Streets in Louisville and immediately smelled marijuana coming from Joshua L. Moore, whose station clerk contend was filling up an imaginary vehicle. Officers searched Moore and found two large bags of marijuana and a large amount of ecstasy. Police said Moore also had a cell phone and a large amount of money, which they said was indicative of trafficking. Police said that Moore narcotics were located on Moore when he was being booked into Metro Corrections. Next story, John. A little slow on the draw tonight there. Government tells brewer he can't call his beer weed.
What?
Government tells brewer he can't call his beer weed.
Why not?
Man points out that they may want to talk to Anheuser-Busch about Bud.
I don't do drugs, though. Just weed.
Next story, John. Grizzly bear kills trainer in South California. Upset with poor reviews of Semi-Pro. A grizzly bear that appeared in a recent Will Ferrell movie killed a 39-year-old trainer with a bite to his neck and had to be subdued with pepper spray. Three experienced handlers were working with the bear Tuesday at Randy Miller's Predators in Action facility when the bear bit 39-year-old Stephen Miller on the neck. The center staff used pepper spray to subdue and contain the bear, and there were no other injuries. The Department of Fish and Game will decide the bear's fate after an investigation. Sergeant Devin Phelps said the bear was a 5-year-old male named Rocky. Seems likely his fate has already been euthanized. Did you get that, John? Said the bear was a 5-year-old male named Rocky.
Right.
In February interview, Randy Miller called Rocky the best working bear in the business. In the same article, Randy Miller also said,
"Yo,
if one of these animals gets a hold of your throat, you're finished." Next story, John.
Thank you very much, you know.
I think that was Rocky, wasn't it?
Next story, John.
Don't we got audio from the bear bite?
No, we don't. All 61-year-old right. Suspect is accused of shooting at a tractor trailer at a McDonald's sign and leading police on a chase through a construction zone before slamming into four police cruisers. Police said Ronald Huddock of St. Clairsville, Ohio, did all that early Tuesday morning. It began on Interstate 70 in Canton Township, Washington County, where police said Huddock shot at the truck. Then Huddock went to the drive-thru at the Chestnut Street McDonald's. When he became unhappy with the service, police said Huddock shot at the Golden Arches. Huddock was driving a white Porsche Carrera, by the way. He got back on the interstate where he encountered several police cars, and the chase began. According to police, Huddock traveled more than 80 miles per hour through an active construction zone, striking several police crew. When the police came to the stop, Huddock was shocked with a taser so they could be subdued and taken to custody. The Channel 11 News photographer asked Huddock, "Did you shoot at a truck, Ronald?" He replied, "I discharged a couple of bullets. Big deal, man." Huddock has been held in a Washington County jail on $175,000 bail. Next story, John. This is a public service announcement, a PSA from TTN. PSA. If you're going to pick up a hooker in Memphis, don't do it in your government-issued vehicle and leave your 7-year-old daughter at home. Next story, John.
Fuck.
Lynchings in Congo as penis theft panic hits capital. Police in Congo have arrested 13 suspected sorcerers accused of using black magic to steal or shrink men's cocks after a wave of panic and attempted lynchings triggered by the alleged witchcraft. Reports of so-called cock snatching are not common. I'm sorry, not uncommon in West Africa, where belief in traditional religions and witchcraft remains widespread. Rumors of cock theft began circulating last week in Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo's sprawling capital of some 8 million inhabitants, and quickly dominated radio call-in shows with listeners advised to beware of fellow passengers in communal taxis wearing gold rings. Purported victims 14 of whom are also detained by police, claim that sorcerers simply touch them to make their genitals shrink or disappear. And what some residents said was an attempt to extort cash with the promise of a cure. Police arrested and accused sorcerers and victims in an effort to avoid sort of bloodshed seen in Guyana a decade ago, when 12 suspected cock snatchers were beaten to death by angry mobs. Oh, the 27 men have since been released. Next story, John. Contrary to popular belief, drummers seem to be smarter than the majority of farm animals. People who score high on intelligence tests are also good at keeping time. New Swedish research shows. A team that carried out the study also suspected that the accuracy and timing is important to brain processes responsible for problem solving and reasoning. Researchers at the Medical University Karolinska Institutet and Umeå University have now demonstrated a correlation between general intelligence and the ability to tap out a simple regular rhythm. They stress that the task subjects performed had nothing to do with musical rhythm sense, but simply measured the capacity for rhythmic accuracy. Those who scored highest on intelligence tests also had least variation in the regular rhythm they tapped out in an experiment. Next story, John. Taser quickly replacing Tupperware at parties. First, there were Tupperware parties, then came cozy at-home sales pitches to female consumers from everything from perfume to lingerie to Botox. But Dana Schaffman has brought this tradition to a literally stunning new level with its newest incarnation. A woman's taser party. Ms. Schaffman, 35, is on a mission to persuade the fearful but fashion-conscious women of America to pack 50,000 volts of self-defense in their handbags. "This device has changed my life," she told a room full of women in suburban Miami last week. "I no longer live in fear. I challenge you. All with one question. How will you defend yourself if you're attacked?" Next door, John. Turns out that God really frowns upon Christian rock. More than 40 people were taken to the hospital, 3 with serious injuries, after the floor caved in at a packed concert in the Abbotsford BC Church late Friday night. "We were dancing in front of the stage," Kyle Weber, a teenager who was at the Christian rock concert, told CBC News. "The floor just collapsed. All the speakers just fell down and crashed. A lot of people fell through the floor." At least 23 people were sent to MSA Hospital in Abbotsford, while 16 people were diverted to nearby hospitals in Mission, Chilliwack, and Langley. Next story, John. This is a Phil McCracken quiz for you, John. David Allen Chapman. Are you familiar with David Allen Chapman?
No.
No recollection of
no.
David Allen Chapman.
No.
Well, David Allen Chapman, who ate the brain of his roommate after he shot him 30 years ago in an argument over whose religion was best, is up for parole in June.
Oh.
Next story, John. Blind man who can't drive finds loophole in state-of-the-art airport security. State-of-the-art for Florida, anyway. A 73-year-old man drove around a security gate at Miami International Airport and ended up on the tarmac. The man, who authorities did not identify, was detained without incident. "It might be a case because of his age that he was disoriented," said Miami-Dade Police Detective Robert Williams. "We still have to interview him to determine what mindset he was in when he evaded the security gate."
You've been drinking, Phil.
The area was quickly locked on after the 8:30 a.m. intrusion. Williams said no flights or landings were delayed, said airport spokesman Greg Chin.
All right.
Next and last story, John. As teenage pregnancies soar, so do the number of grandmothers in their 30s. In related news, so does the popular term, the popular new term, GILF.
GILF, grandma's
had sores. Like the same as teenage pregnancies, sore.
Nice.
So do the number of grandmothers in their 30s, and so does the popularity of a new term, GILF. And that's the news, John.
That's out of sight.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott.
All right.
I'm Phil McCracken Wickham with AKC Total Talk.
Thanks for coming.
I'm sorry, I'm Phil McCracken Wickham with Total Talk Nonsense.
AKC, we dropped that years ago.
That'll be trivia.
Dropped it like it's hot.
That'll be trivia on Trivial Pursuit, the year 2000 edition.
Bye-bye.
Why did Total Talk Nonsense drop? AKC, and what did it mean?
Don't walk with the mic.
I'm sorry. Let me put the mic down.
All right, put it down.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right, then. Oh, I still got my cans on. Whip. Later.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
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 That's good. I get to take a break while Phil was giving the news. Because he never really converses with me.
No.
Just with you. So I got to take a piss. Hey, this is a blast from the past. Are you going to play the whole song this time, or are you going to fade out?
What? Why? Did I blow it off before?
Yeah, you faded out after like...
I did? All right.
20 seconds.
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm not Scott.
And I am not John, and this is episode 129.
That's right. We're out of here.
Later.
Later.
John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.